to Exposing the Enemy with your hosts, Pierre, Godsent Angel, and Dr. Elizabeth Motke. Welcome to Exposing the Enemy with your host, Pierre, and myself, Dr. Elizabeth Motke. Maybe later we'll have Angel on. Pierre, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another installation here of Exposing the Enemy. It is October 30, 2013. Kick things off on Drudge Report, top news article, Boston triumphs at home. Looks like the Red Sox have won a very major game, and Boston is very, very, very happy. I remember they used to have a crazy losing streak for a number of seasons, and it was just so depressing. But apparently, you folks at Boston been staying on top of the game and been keeping a faith with your team, and that's a very good thing. And I'm glad for Boston doing what had to be done and getting that victory. So way to go, Boston. Continuing. Third Republican backs immigration. Ted Cruz to appear on a Tonight Show. Feds keep pumping. Putin topples Obama in Forbes power ranking. L.A., Los Angeles, set up command center to combat cyber attacks. Drunk clown accused of dangling child from overpass after Halloween party. Drought fears hit California. Three dead in Arizona due to dust storm. Obama blames, quote, bad apple insurers, end quote, for canceled health plans. And then he also says to just shop around, and apparently he was heckled during that. Moscow, Russia. Moscow conducts large-scale nuclear attack drill. Twitter sued for $124 million over private stock sale. And astronomers discover Earth-like planet. And that'll do it for Drudge. On to Earth Changes at Sandeo.com. Pull this up here real quick. We have 6.2 earthquake strikes off, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Mole, Chile. Dan did a forecast on that apparently October 28th and October 29th. Rise in Oklahoma. Seismic activity here to stay. Residents urged to get additional insurance. Oklahoma earthquake search reveals previously unknown fault line. State agency trying to connect dots. 6.4 Gulf of California quake October 19th sent massive waves across the U.S. A really big earthquake would hit Ottawa hard. BC, British Columbia, Quebec, earthquakes could cost billions, report. Just a lot of earthquake information going down here. Experts, 1,500 Israeli schools at high risk in earthquake. Quake death toll from 7.2 Philippine shaker rises to 218. Yellowstone super volcano threatens two-thirds of U.S. Mount Etna eruption briefly closes airport. Supernovsky volcano erupts in Russia. Argentine bread prices rising as widespread grain scarcity kicks in. Just a lot of issues happening left and right today in terms of earth changes. White House tries to explain Obama's claim that all Americans can keep health plans. Right. An Obamacare screw-up sends callers to Cupcake Shop. Okay, that's about one of the weirdest ones out there. And that will do it for standale.com in terms of earth changes. And now we're going to get into some articles here that's interesting and that you guys all need to get your heads wrapped around. This is from shithitsthefanplan.com. That's Sierra Hotel Tango Foxtrot Plan.com. And the name of the article is 10 Signs That Obamacare Is Going to Wreck the U.S. Economy. Okay, it is hard to find the words to describe adequately describe how much of a disaster Obamacare is turning out to be. The debut of healthcare.gov has been probably the worst launch of a major website in history. Millions of Americans are having their current health insurance policies canceled. Billions of others are seeing the size of their health insurance premiums absolutely explode. And this new law is going to result in massive numbers of jobs being lost. It is almost as if Obamacare was specifically designed to wreck the U.S. economy. Not that we have had Obamacare, not that we have had before Obamacare was great. In fact, I have long argued that the U.S. healthcare system is a complete and total train wreck. But now Obamacare is making everything that was bad about our system much, much worse. Americans are going to pay far more for health care. The quality of that care is going to go down. You're going to have to deal with far more medical red tape, and thousands upon thousands of U.S. employees are considering getting rid of the health plans that they offer to employees altogether due to Obamacare. If the U.S. healthcare system was a separate nation, it would be the sixth largest economy on the entire planet. And Obamacare is going to absolutely cripple it. To say that Obamacare is an economic catastrophe will be a massive understatement. Of course, we were assured that it wouldn't turn out this way. We were promised over and over that we're going to pay less for healthcare, get better coverage, and be able to keep our current health plans if we were pleased with them. The following is what Obama said at a rally in 2009. Quote, first of all, if you got health insurance, like your doctors, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. Nobody is talking about taking that away from you, end quote. Oh, really? That was such a dramatic lie that even NBC News is turning on him. They discovered that Obama has known for 3 years that most people that rely on individual health insurance policies would not be able to keep them. Buried in Obamacare regulations from July 2010 is an estimate that because of normal turnover in the individual insurance market, 40 to 67% of customers will not be able to keep their policy. And because many policies will have been changed since the key date, the percentage of the individual market policies losing grandfather status in a given year exceeds the 40 to 67% range. That means the administration knew that more than 40 to 67% of those in the individual market would not be able to keep their plans even if they like them. Pretty much everything that Obama told us when he was selling us on his plan had turned out to be a lie. So, what can we expect from Obamacare moving forward? The following are 10 signs that Obamacare is going to wreck the U.S. economy. Number one, it is being projected that millions upon millions of Americans are going to lose their current health insurance plans thanks to Obamacare. Most will be faced with the choice of either purchasing much more expensive health insurance or going uninsured. This will put even more stress on a middle class that is already disintegrating rapidly. The following is from the recent NBC News investigation mentioned above. Four sources deeply involved in the Affordable Care Act tell NBC News that 50 to 75% of the 14 million customers who buy their insurance individually can expect to receive a cancellation letter or the equivalent over the next year because their existing policies don't meet the standards mandated by the new health care law. One expert predicts that number could reach as high as 80%. And all say that many of those forced to buy pricier new policies will experience stickier shock. Number two, the health insurance premium increases that some families are experiencing absolutely mind-boggling correction. Let me reread that part. Number two, the health insurance premium increases that some families are experiencing are absolutely mind-boggling. According to Mike Adams of Natural News, one family in Texas just got hit with a 539% rate increase. Obamacare is named the Affordable Care Act, after all, and President promised the rate to be as low as a phone bill. But I just received a confirmed letter from a friend in Texas showing a 539% rate increase on existing policy that's been in good standing for years. As the letter reveals, says see below, the cost of this couple's policy under Humana is increasing from $212.10 per month to $1,356.60 per month. This is for a couple in good health whose combined income is less than $70,000, a middle-class family, in other words. According to NBC News, an elderly couple in North Carolina was hit with similar rate increase. George Swab, age 62, of North Carolina, said he was perfectly happy with his plan from Blue Cross Blue Shield, which also insured his wife for a $228 monthly premium. But this past September, he was surprised to receive a letter saying his policy was no longer available. The comparable plan the insurance company offered him carried a $1,208 monthly premium and a $5,500 deductible. Many Americans that were formerly in favor of Obamacare are now against it after they have seen what it is going to do to their budgets. The following is one example of this from a recent Los Angeles Times article. Pam, if I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, it's Pam Cahaly, or Cahaly, president of Anthem Blue Cross in California, said she received a letter from a young woman complaining about a 50% rate hike related to the health care law. Quote, she said, "I was all for Obamacare until I find out what I was paying for, what I was paying for it. End quote, Cahaly said. Number three, Obamacare actually includes incentives for people to work less and make less money. The following is one example from a recent article by Sean Davis. In California, a couple earning $64,000 a year would not qualify for health care subsidies. A bronze plan for them through Kaiser would cost them about $1,300 each month, or $15,600 a year. But if that same family earned just $2,000 less, it would qualify for over $14,000 in annual health care subsidies, dropping their premiums for that same Kaiser plan to less than $100 per month. Number four, thankfully the employer mandate in Obamacare was delayed for a little while, but it will ultimately result in widespread job losses all over the country. In fact, we are already seeing this happen. The following is a recent article in The Economist. Before the recession, Richard Clark's cleaning company in Florida had 200 employees, about half of them working full-time. These days, it has been about 150, with 80% part-time. The downturn explains some of this, but Mr. Clark also blamed Barack Obama's health reform. When it comes into effect in January 2015, Obamacare will require firms with 50 or more full-time employees to offer them affordable health insurance or pay a fine of $2,000 to $3,000 per worker. That is a daunting prospect for firms that do not already offer coverage, but for many, there is a way around the law. Mr. Clark says he is, quote, very careful with the threshold, end quote. To keep his full-time work below the match number of 50, he was relying more on part-timers. He is not alone. More than 1 in 10 firms surveyed by Mercer, a consultancy, and 1 in 5 retail and hospitality companies say they will cut workers' hours because of Obamacare. 100 part-timers can flip mini burgers as 50 full-timers, and the former will soon be much cheaper. Folks, just to clarify something here really quick, I do remember Obamacare is supposed to go into effect January 2014, so I do not know about the January 2015 date, if that is actually accurate by The Economist. Last I checked, it was January 2014. So that could be just a simple typo through The Economist. But do your homework on that one. Continuing, you could find a very long list of some of the employers that have either eliminated jobs or cut hours because of Obamacare right here. And there's a link that takes you right to that list of employers that have slashed hours. Number 5, even if you're able to keep your job, there is no guarantee that your employer will continue to offer health insurance as an employee benefit. In fact, it's being reported that large numbers of employers have already decided to no longer offer health insurance to their employees because of Obamacare. Number 6, according to CBS News, so far, the number of people that have had their health insurance policies canceled is more than 3 times greater than the number of people who have signed up for new policies under Obamacare. CBS News has learned that more than 2 million Americans have been told they cannot renew their current insurance policies. More than triple the number of people said to be buying insurance under the new Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare. Number 7. If what is going on in New York is any indication, those that are signing up for health insurance under Obamacare are going to have a really, really hard time finding a doctor. New York doctors are treating Obamacare like the plague, a new survey reveals. A poll conducted by the New York State Medical Society finds that 44% of MDs said they are not participating in the nation's new health care plan. Another 33% say they are still not sure whether to become Obamacare providers. Only 23% of the 409 physicians queried said they're taking patients who signed up through health exchanges. Number 8, Obamacare is turning out to be a gold mine for hackers and identity thieves. The personal information of millions of Americans could potentially end up being compromised. According to CNN, healthcare.gov was found to be teeming with security holes. The Obamacare website has more than annoying bugs. A cybersecurity expert found a way to hack into users' accounts. Until the Department of Health fixed the security hole last week, anyone could easily reset your healthcare.gov password without your knowledge and potentially hijack your account. According to the New York Post, healthcare.gov has been designed so badly from a security standpoint that it might have to be rebuilt from scratch. The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee said Obamacare's website, already a tangled mess, might need to be rebuilt from scratch to protect against cyber thieves because he fears it is not a safe place right now for healthcare consumers to deposit their personal information. Quote, I know that they called in another private entity to try to help with the security of it. The problem is they may have to redesign the entire system, end quote, Representative Mike Rogers said on Sunday on CNN's State of the Union political talk show. Quote, the way the system is designed, it is not secure, end quote. Number nine, as I noted in a previous article, approximately 60% of all personal bankruptcies in the United States are related to medical bills because millions of Americans are now losing their health insurance policies and millions of others will choose to pay the fine rather than sign up for Obamacare. More Americans than ever will find themselves overwhelmed with medical bills when they get seriously sick. This will result in even more personal bankruptcy. Number 10, in the end, the burden for paying for the subsidies that Obamacare offers is going to overwhelmingly fall on the taxpayers. This is going to cause our nightmarish national debt to get even worse. Peter Schiff recently explained why this is going to happen. It is ironic that high deductible catastrophic plans are precisely what young people should be buying in the first place. They are inexpensive because they provide coverage for unlikely but expensive events. Routine care is best paid for out of pocket by value-conscious consumers. But Obamacare outlaws these plans in favor of what amounts to prepaid medical treatment that shifts the cost of services to taxpayers. In such a system, patients have no incentive to contain costs. Since the biggest factor driving healthcare costs higher in the first place has been over the use of insurance that results from government-provided tax incentives and the lack of cost accountability that results from a third-party payer system, Obamacare will bend the cost curve even higher. The fact that Obamacare does nothing to rein in costs while providing an open-ended insurance subsidy may be good news for hospitals and insurance companies, but it's bad news for taxpayers on whom this increased burden will ultimately fail. So what do you think of Obamacare? Has it directly affected your life yet? Please feel free to share your thoughts by posting comments below. And that is the article on Sierra Hotel Tango Foxtrot Plan.com. And my take on this is pretty simple. It's designed to collapse. It was never meant to help you. It was never meant to give you anything that was affordable in terms of health care. Was actually quite the opposite. It's designed to hurt you. It was designed to destroy what was left of this country in terms of its choice of having what you need for your own health care, your own health care plan. It's the end of the average American's choice, rich, poor, or middle class. It's designed to prevent you from having a choice. It's designed to prevent you from, from you choosing what's right for you instead of the state choosing what's right for you. And I think that's bunk. I think that's totally bunk. It's that's the best way I could put this without, flipping out on the air. I find this extremely insulting. I find the entire notion of Affordable Health Care Act as an insult to the American people. I really, really, really do. And I wish people would wake up to this. Well, I take that back. People are waking up to that. That's a good thing. People are waking up, unfortunately. They're waking up to a very hardcore situation that no one's going to be able to recover from. State-controlled healthcare. You all think about that for a moment. You see how far that's going to carry you, those of you who believe in change that he could, you know, you could believe in, and he brought it. Either our economy's going to tank on the one hand, which is inevitable, or the acceptance of this stupid thing that was written out by this man when no one was paying attention will equally ensure a more speedier collapse of the economy through the taxpayers not being able to control what they have, not being able to make it. I'm sorry, those premiums are just too much, and the increases. Who can afford any of this, for real? And you, the people who are suffering from all this, I'm not immune from it. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not going to deal with it. And that's the end of the story. But for those of you out there who really are going to be hurting off this, I mean seriously hurting off this, you all need to be marching. You all need to be getting together. And not just forming websites that are opposed to this. You guys got to get your voices heard. It needs to be heard. You know, these million man marches, this million that march there in D.C., it should be a march against Obamacare. And then it should be a march to have this man taken out of office. For real. Because nothing good has come from this man at all. Nothing. This will be another scandal of epic proportions, and the people are just simply accepting this. I mean, for real. I mean, how could anyone truly accept the insanity of what's being proposed? Who would sign up for this? Oh, wait a minute, those of you who were deceived, and you find out now that the website has been crashing, and now you just learn that your accounts may have been potentially hacked, and your identity is gone. Bye-bye. And this is all just like the tip of the iceberg stuff, you know? And the deception is so real, it's happening on every level, and a lot of you aren't dialing in. If you were dialing in, there would be marches going on across America and across the world with the stupid stuff that's happening. But as far as I can see, a lot of people are still blinded by what's going on. Where there's not enough people that are brave enough, you know, to make a stand, because let's be real. There's the realistic issue of people don't want to wind up like Andrew or Michael Hastings or any other number of people who have come across the whole issues with Obama. Ambassador Stevens, take your pick. SEAL Team 6, the firing/forced resignations of about 197 of this country's top, you know, flag officers. The list just goes on and on and on. And yet that man still retains power in this country. And people still want him there. People gripe and complain, but not enough people are griping and complaining. And damn well not enough people are marching on what is going on. You need to march. You need to be getting your voices heard. There is so much going on with this. I'm going to go on to the next article. Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. What I told the Voice of Russia radio network about impending U.S. martial law. Yes, you heard that correctly. In the early morning hours of October 29, 2013, I was interviewed by Kate Zickel from the Voice of Russia radio show, formerly Radio Moscow. The Russians wanted to know why I believe that the United States is on the verge of martial law, and I feel compelled to say that the host seemed extremely uncomfortable with the content of my presentation. I was told that we would have 10 minutes for the interview. This story cannot be told in 10 minutes. So I prepared attention-grabbing bullet points in an attempt to convey why I believe martial law does not lie far off in our future. As a radio guest, I usually adopt a calm demeanor and attempt to present hard data, which allows the listeners to make up their mind. I am congenial and polite because I would like to be invited back at a future date. In this instance, I did not have that goal. I have done enough interviews with the mainstream media outlets to know when I'm venturing into enemy territory. However, in this instance, I decided to be a little more aggressive, not quite to the level of Alex Jones, Piers Morgan gun control debate on CNN, but in the same spirit. Russian-controlled media or the American-controlled media, there is virtually no difference. I almost felt sorry for the Russian host as she was both overwhelmed by my material and she was extremely uncomfortable in my approach. Here's a synopsis of what I was able to convey in a 10-minute interview. The catalyst for martial law. Barring a false flag event, U.S. martial law will have a trigger event, which will lead to martial law. That will be a financial, and it will naturally occur as we are already on a collision course with destiny. There are three numbers that every American should be paying attention to, and they are, one, the national deficit, $17 trillion. Number two, the unfunded liabilities debt, $238 trillion. And three, the derivatives future debt, $1 quadrillion, which is 16 times the entire wealth of the planet. 16 times the entire wealth of the planet. The net result of these staggering numbers can only end one way, with financial collapse, a bank holiday, rioting in the streets, and a full rollout of martial law. Most, if not all, revolutions occur in three stages, and this formed the focus of my interview content. Folks, forgive me. Had a long day. Generally, I'm more focused in what I have to say and what I read, so please bear with me. My apologies to everyone. Stage one of martial law consists of the gradual rollout of government controls over citizen liberties. Travel is restricted through inland border checkpoints, and travel restrictions carry over into stage two. The internal DHS Viper programs, which is spelled Victor, India, Papa, Romeo, Viper programs, which randomly search citizens at public events and on the highways, are now in place. Citizens are conditioned by the TSA that they do not control or own their bodies, as the flying public is molested by the TSA every day in our nation's airports in an extreme violation of our citizens' Fourth Amendment rights. Stage one also begins to create an enemies list, and we have already seen this in the MIAC, that's the Mike India Alpha Charlie report, in which Christians, Ron Paul supporters, Second Amendment supporters, libertarian, and constitutionalists have been branded as domestic terrorists. The enemies list has been created and will be acted upon at a future date. In stage one, the government elevates itself above any pretense of constitutional liberties. In stage one, the legal mechanisms are put into place which allow for a more orderly transition to martial law. In the United States, there are two distinct provisions which will firmly place the United States under martial law. On December 31st, 2011, while the country was preparing to celebrate, Congress passed the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. The NDAA permits the government to arrest anyone without due process of law and detain them indefinitely without any legal representative. Although I did not have time to tell the Russians about Eric Holder and Jay Johnson's legal opinions, which legitimized unconstitutional arrests, but also sanctioned the unwarranted execution of American citizens. Referring to Attorney General's legal opinion, Eric Holder has stated that Obama can order the execution of Americans. This legal opinion was based upon a legal brief prepared by newly nominated Director, Department of Homeland Security Director Jay Johnson. When as senior legal counsel to the Pentagon, he had previously issued the same legal opinion. The NDAA will allow the administration of legal right to secretly remove any burgeoning leadership of citizen opposition forces. The second provision, which will allow this country to quickly transition to martial law, is Executive Order 13603. I say again that, Executive Order 13603. Which allows the president to take control over any resource, property, and even human labor within the United States. This EO gives the president unlimited authority, including the ability to initiate a civilian draft as well as a military draft. In short, this spells the potential enslavement of the American people. The Russian host was uncomfortable with my recitation of these two draconian dictates. America has been firmly under stage one martial law governance, and it started in the aftermath of 9/11. Stage 2. In Stage 2, martial law implementation becomes obvious to all citizens except the ones who invoke cognitive dissonance as a psychological coping mechanism. Stage 2 is marked by increasing restrictions on travel, the loss of free speech, and the right to assemble to air grievances against the government. Stage 2 also witnesses some level of pushback by citizens through various forms of civil disobedience, a hallmark sign that the imposition of martial law is imminent and is tied to the fact that DHS is moving to forcibly restrict travel. Take a look at the following work order I obtained for DHS last year. Press release, April 4, 2012, owner, Department of Homeland Security, project description, shelters, directed, provided the Department of Homeland Security with 4x13 steel uniform Lima 752 level 3 bullet resistant booth. This guard building features a standing seam hip roof, a through wall heating venting air conditioning unit, two uniform Lima 752 Bravo Romeo level 3 sliding doors, uniform Lima 752 bullet resistant level 3 glass, and a low E coating. DHS bulletproof checkpoints. The TSA grope granny approaches the airline security greatly intensifies in this stage. The Russian host posited the view that airline security is a normal part of life and a necessary part of airline security. Having our genitals groped by pot-bellied perverts in blue uniforms is a normal part of life. Control of the media is same regardless of the country of origin. In stage two, the free internet as we know it will disappear. Subsequently, the truth, alternative media will disappear as well. Stage two is also characterized by the total loss of due process of law with regard to detainment, imprisonment, or worse. This stage is also marked by limiting participation of members of society who have been previously identified as enemies of the state. Example given, the Mike India Alpha Charlie, the MIAC report. This would include the ability to hold certain kinds of employment, a special designation on the form of national ID, the imposition of restrictions who can marry, where one can live, etc. Stage two also witnesses the total loss of private property and free will in terms of choice of domicile. Example given, Agenda 21. Choice of employment and exercising any form of political choice. In short, Stage 2 is characterized by creating a political caste system in which the legal rights of certain groups are set in a place. Example given, the NDAA, Executive Order 13603, etc. The MERS, Mike India Romeo Sierra mortgage fraud inspired thievery of legitimate home titles, and the MF Global theft of private secured investment accounts are cases in point. Stage two is often preceded by a false flag attack. Example given, the burning of the Reichstag. designed to create a perceived enemy which serves as an excuse for the encroachment of necessary tyranny in a society in which we must trade our liberty for security approach to government. The interview time frame did not permit me to speak to stage two and the beginning of civil disobedience. If I would have had another few moments, I would have spoken about how the veterans defied the shutdown of the monuments during the government shutdown. I would have also detailed how the good people of Northern Carolina, Northern California and Southern Oregon, i.e. the proposed state of Jefferson, want to withdraw from their respective states so they can better counter federal abuses. There is also a similar movement in eastern Colorado that I would have spoken about. We will remember these events as the Lexington and Concord of the American resistance movement. Stage three martial law has given history some of its darkest days. Warrantless detentions become commonplace in which suspected political dissidents are removed from society, usually in the middle of the night. The Russians should be able to identify with this practice. In modern terminology, these were referred to as the Red List, which tagged its troublesome citizens who are detained and normally executed. These include outspoken preachers, outspoken talk show hosts, and people who have any kind of history of civil disobedience. This speaks directly to the type of abuses that Ed Snowden has warned America about. Many of us in the alternative media have sources which speak to the fact that the massive NSA surveillance grid has created a weighted enemies list, and every American has been assigned what is euphemistically referred to as a threat matrix score. These scores are fluid and change as one's demonstrated loyalties happen to change. Conclusion. It is an eerie feeling to experience the corporate-controlled media, Russian style. The clear agenda of the interview was to cast out any doubt on claims being made that martial law is in our future. I told the host to some degree we will be under soft martial law. We have been under soft martial law since 9/11. The interview was scheduled to air later on the same day as a pre-recorded session. I was told that the interview will go back to Russian headquarters, processed, and then distributed widely in 39 countries from which the Voice of Russia broadcasts. It would not entirely surprise me if the Russians scrubbed the interview because I did not permit the host to control the narrative. My close friends and family asked me, why did I interview with the main media outlet for the Russian government? No, I'm not sympathetic to the Russian worldview. I'm an American first, and I don't trust the Russian government any further than I can throw them. I may strongly object to the policies of the bankers who have hijacked my government, but I am a loyal American, first and foremost, and committed to the ideals of the Constitution. I did the interview for one simple reason. I am trying to convey the message that we are all one humanity, and we have the same enemy. Most people of the world are good, loving people. To move up the ladder in government, the government power structure requires a ruthless, psychopathic approach. This is why we see such inhumane decisions emanating from governments around the world. The people who aspire to this level of power are generally mentally ill psychopaths. Consequently, I want the citizens in 39 countries who will hear my story to identify with the fact that we, as the people of the world, have a lot in common with each other, regardless of national origin. I want foreign citizens, as well as American citizens, to come to realize that the enemy of humanity are the ruthless bankers who control the governments of the world. I want people to know that we are all God's children, and as such, we should never allow ourselves to be manipulated to take up arms against each other. I am on a mission to convey these ideals. That is why I spoke with the Russians media. And that was the article from Dave Hodges, thecommonsenseshow.com. My feelings on it? Spot on. Gutsy. Seriously gutsy. Especially given how the mainstream media outlets are nowadays. About how hard it is to get the word out, to get the truth out. Knowing what's going on, knowing how crazy things are getting, I find it still very surprising that people will try to refute the information that we levy out here on this show and the information you hear on other shows. And this is as real as it gets because it's in your face. And there's still things that many of you do not know what's going on. Some of it is too incredible to even talk about because it's like something out of a novel. But yet we're living in a time where apparently novelty is reality. We're living in a time where things are absolutely surreal, where you are all now forced to, whether you like it or not, you are forced to question what the hell is going on in this country and how it's affecting your life, and more importantly, why it's affecting your life. Then you need to ask, what are you going to do to counter it, or will you just join the bandwagon and ride along? I know where things are going. I have a pretty damn good idea how this is going to roll. And it isn't going to be nice. It's not going to be peaceful. It's going to be quite violent. It's going to take everyone by storm. People will be upset at so many different things. And by the time people have a unified idea of what's going on and they're really willing to mete out justice against the evil, hey, guess what? That evil turned tail or dug holes so deep in the ground that you can't find them because they left you on the surface sticking with your tails in the wind as the crap is hitting the fan, as the heat's raining down on you. You think about that for a moment. You think about that. You know, I pray for a saner world. Now, all I can really pray for is saner minds. Let saner minds prevail during the chaos that is to come. I don't even have the power remotely to stop any of this. It's just going to play out. This drama is going to play out. I would like it to play out with a lot of people being sane than being insane. There's something very comforting knowing that there's strength in numbers where people don't flip off the handle, where they can come up with good solutions to a very difficult problem or a series of difficult problems. We are human after all, right? And through adversity, we triumph. Through adversity, we prevail or we fall. United, we stand, right? Last I checked, divided, well, you know that story. Does it have to be this way? No, but there's a lot of powers that be that out there that have made it this way. No, I'm going to try my best to quote Tom Cruise on this one. Yes, Tom Cruise. When he played Vincent in Collateral, Michael Mann's movie Collateral with Jamie Foxx in it. It's like, you okay? Yeah, you sure? Fine. You got to breathe. And he goes and he says, we got to call it Darwinism, I Ching, whatever, man. We got to roll with it, you know? And that's what we got to do. But I'm going to add something into that. We need to be on our knees. We need to pray. We need to pray. Because we're at that point now, folks, where the rope is pulled so tight that I'll take it for a simple strand of break, and then that's it. Everything else comes just unraveled. Imagine the mania that we're all experiencing collectively around the world. Once a very strong, fine piece of rope that could not be broken, but has aged and has withered, that has not been cared for, that has not been renewed, has not been repaired, and now has gone withered, and it's old, and it's fraying, and only a few strands are left now. That's where we're at. You know, the magnitude of thinking of that, just going there is just, makes one speechless, makes me speechless at times. You know, I'm not giving in to the enemy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving in to the enemy. I'm not giving in to the fear of things. I'm calmly pragmatic with all of this. I wish I could say the same for those that are going to break that won't be so calmly pragmatic when this thing goes nuts. And I hope that for the time that you've all listened to the show when the Exposing Enemy first came out to where we are today, I hope you all paid attention when I said to get your spiritual houses in order. I seriously hope you listened and took the right measures, the right steps. I hope you all equally got your preparations in order. You got yourself set, whether you're going to bat down the hatches and hold down the fort or go mobile and did your research and found a good, decent place to be. My personal advice to everyone, just my personal advice, so don't get no lawsuits here. My personal advice is if you're going to get out of Dodge, I think this would be a pretty good time to do it and settle somewhere else and be out of enemy-controlled territory. Because it's all about to get real. Why wait hours before it happens when if you have the power to go and there really isn't anything holding you back save your conscience, unless you have a family or so, and then I can understand and respect that. But if you don't have any such ties, what are you there for? You know, sometimes, I'm going to quote Admiral Adama from Battlestar Galactica, James Edward Olmos' character from Battlestar Galactica Revised. Sometimes, you have to pick a side. And sometimes, you got to roll a hard six. I'll let you all chew on that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for dealing with my speech impediments flying here and there and everywhere. It has been quite a long day for me, but I am glad to be on the air with all of you to talk to you. You guys all need to know. You all need to. I ain't giving up on you. One day, be very well advised. I might not be on the air much longer. I might not be on there, nor Elizabeth, nor Alex Jones, or anyone else. That day is coming rapidly. And I do mean rapidly. So, let's be grateful for the time that we have, right? Chin up, stay frosty. Elizabeth?
And on that note, we will go to a commercial break. Thank you for listening. Please stay with us.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content, about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea. Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
And welcome back to Exposing the Enemy. I'm Pierre with Dr. Elizabeth McKee. Well, folks, I'm going to get into, I thought I was done, should have been done, go figure, but I'm going to get into another article here for you that you need to know about this one. This comes from CanadaFreePress.com, and the name of the story, well, the article, is called How Do You Simulate Physical Attacks During Emergency Drill? And this was written by their editor-in-chief, Judy McLeod. If the National Spy Agency, NSA, which spies on all citizenry and foreign nationals alike, and therefore knows all, then why is it necessary for the emergency drill plan to take place across North America on November 13th to 14th, quote, to check the resiliency of the U.S. power grid to withstand major damage caused by a natural disaster or deliberate attack? GridX2 is coming soon to a town near you. That is why thousands of utility workers, business executives, National Guard officers, FBI, anti-terrorism experts, and officials from government agencies in the United States, Canada, and Mexico are preparing for an emergency drill in November that will simulate physical attacks and cyber attacks that could take down large sections of the power grid. Now, that was out of the New York Times on August 16, 2013. According to the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, no telephone in America makes call without leaving record with NSA. Ditto for emails. Nothing is safe from prying government eyes. Only yesterday, the FBI fined, threatened, and forced Ledar Levinson to suspend the operation to secure his email service, LavaBit LLC, telling the entrepreneur that his users were more likely to trust the government than him. That's from the Daily Caller. So, is the network keeping the lights on in North America somehow NSA exempt? We'll know the results of simulated cyber attacks during GridX2 instantly. It's called No Power. But how do you simulate physical attacks? And will we ever read the results about any simulated physical attacks gone wrong? What about terrorists planning to take down the grid? Would November 13th through 14th appeal to them on the basis that their terrorism could be conveniently blamed on GridX2 massive simulation? How do thousands of utility workers, business executives, bureaucrats communicate with each other if their simulation exercise takes down large parts of the power grid in Canada, the United States, or Mexico? Other than the New York Times and Facebook pickups on GridX2 massive simulation plans, do the populations of all three countries have any say when organizations decide to conduct dry runs? In excess of 150 entities have agreed to take part in a simulated event called GridX2, the Times reports. GridX2 sounds like something out of a science fiction novel, but it is related to GridX 2011, which took place November 16th to 17th in 2011, and involved not thousands, but only 75 companies. Fears about the possible detonation of a nuclear warhead in the skies above the United States for the purpose of creating an electromagnetic pulse aimed at sizzling electronics on the ground have led a number of public figures to call for significant steps to strengthen the power grid. Ex-CIA head R. James Woolsey is planning a campaign to convince state governments to pass laws requiring utilities to harden their electronics against potential EMP attack. And that's been in the New York Times. A key objective of GridX2 is to learn how governments would handle a loss of electrical power that is large enough to drastically affect the delivery of common and essential goods and services. Some say we're about to find out without the simulation on November 1, 2013, when a 5% across-the-board cut to America's food stamp programs begins. 2 weeks ago, people panicked when EBT cards failed at supermarket cash-outs. Since October 1, the whole world had a front-row seat to the colossal failure of Barack Obama's signature multi-million-dollar healthcare website. Rehearsals, no matter how massive, cannot change the fact that governments goof up all the time. Air Force officers entrusted with the launch keys to long-range nuclear missiles have been caught twice this year, leaving open a blast door that is intended to prevent a terrorist or other intruder from entering their underground command post. Air Force officials said, according to the Associated Press. Government and utility companies have discussed in recent years how challenging it can be to protect the power grid, which is involved in nearly all aspects of modern life. It is managed in large by a patchwork of regional and city authorities and privately owned firms. The grid is essential for almost everything, but is mostly controlled by investor-controlled companies or municipal or regional agencies. 99% of military facilities rely on commercial power, according to the White House. Some sector utility officials blame the government for not sharing intelligence about threats to the power grid. In response, government leaders have recommended that some utility heads apply for security clearances that would allow them to access classified information. Meanwhile, what we're seeing is government administration by dress rehearsal. Some people call them false flag operations. Again, you can find this on CanadaFreePress.com. This was written by Judy McLeod, the editor-in-chief, and it's titled GridX2, How Do You Simulate Physical Attacks During Emergency Drills? And now on the air with us is the third member of this crazy trio here, but that's all in your face here at Exposing Enemy. God sent Angel. Welcome, Angel. Good evening.
It's been a long time since I've been on the show.
Yeah, we missed you.
Thank you. I've been sick and I've been working my rear end off. I have no more booty. I have no booty. That's what working the booty off will do.
Gotta work somehow.
Gotta get it. Yeah, you know what? And that's the thing about it is right now, if you've got work, you better be working your hardest because we don't know what's around the corner financially. And for a lot of people, just doing the average or doing the minimum or, you know, saying my freedom or my time off is more important right now, you're going to be hurting. I mean, it's kind of like the even the squirrels know to stock up for really hard times. So that's what I've been doing. Actually, have something funny to say. Back in 2007, I almost died. I don't know what happened. I don't know why. I just stopped breathing. I was in intensive care and in the hospital for a week. Doctors really don't know what happened to me, but I was exercising a lot at the park. I was probably at the peak of my performance in a very long time, and so I was doing really well health-wise. And all of a sudden, I just stopped breathing, and I still to this day don't know what happened to me, to be honest with you. I just don't know what happened to me. So $30,000 later, no health insurance, I start my new job, and I'm being garnished, and they're pounding on me. You know, every check, $300 out of every check, pound, 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 pound. And just not seeing any end to that, especially when they rape you with the interest and they rape you with all this other crap and they don't make it fair. They're not trying to make it fair. It's about people making money, right? It's about everybody getting rich off the misery of other people. And I might add, how sick is that? But I had no choice. I filed bankruptcy. And the people still garnished me, which is totally against the law, because once you file bankruptcy, they're not allowed to ever garnish you again. No creditor is ever supposed to come after you again. Well, guess what? They did. And they even showed up at my door, and like they continued to harass me. I got a really good attorney, and we are going to sue them. So maybe good does come from bad. Maybe something good does come from this hardship that we're all going through. That would just be amazing. I can't wait to see what God has in store for me and my settlement amount, because I couldn't understand why God constantly, I'm always asking God, why will you let this happen to me? Why am I, why, you know, if you are my protector and you take good care of me, why is this always happening to me? Why are people always walking all over me or hurting me or doing such things to me, you know, because I think we think that if we love God, we do, we're human and we think those thoughts. If you love me, why aren't you protecting me? How can you allow these people to do such horrible things to me? But I'm also filing a massive lawsuit. It's a civil suit over the damage of what's happened to my child. We have been trying to figure out how we'll come up for the money for the expert witness. And it's funny, God said, well, you're going to be able to sue these people for garnishing you, and that's going to give you money for the expert witness for your civil suit. So isn't this amazing how God already knows everything that we do need? I couldn't figure out why the garnishment was happening to me. I really couldn't figure out why in the world these people would have continued to break the law and get the garnishment when it's strictly against the law. Everybody knows that. And now I see that settlement will help pay for the expert witness so I can win the suit. But the civil suit is not just about my child and I. I will not stop. I will not stop until the day that I die that doctors that receive pharmaceutical kickbacks for drugging kids, these psychotropic drugs that are not intended for children under the age of 18, and they're making big bucks off of it, and the FDA states that they're not allowed to drug these kids with these drugs that have all been sued. They've been sued. Every one of those psychotropic drugs have been sued. And now they're suing them for Medicaid fraud because you cannot bill Medicaid fraudulent drugs. So I waited for God. That was really hard to wait on God for him to do something really big with how they're drugging our children with psychotropic drugs and damaging them for gain and for money. And I had to wait on God, and I had to wait on God, and this year, God moved some really big mountains, and last year, too, God went after, helped us go after the pharmaceutical companies and sue them, and now the state attorney generals are suing them for Medicaid fraud. So I had to wait on my, be able to show something very credible about these pharmaceutical drugs and how they're drugging our kids, making them very sick, and causing them to be very messed up. And I do say that this contributes to a lot of what we want to say is the gun violence. I mean, for some legitimate shootings that we've been involved with, a lot of these drugs do cause people to be aggressive. They do cause people to be angry. They do cause people to be very manic because these drugs alter the brain, and they definitely alter behavior. And I'm waiting for that connection to be put together about the drug, some of these psychotropic drugs and the actual legitimate, not these false flag shootings, but some of these real ones and some of what we're seeing here on this planet. So the FDA even states that they do cause aggression. They do say that they cause suicide and all this other stuff, the side effects, and they've been known to do that. But I'm not going to stop until doctors will be held on felony charges for prescribing these drugs to children, our troops, and elderly, and making tons and tons of money off of our kids, off of our military with the post-traumatic stress syndrome, and then also our elderly in a way to just stick elderly people, drug them, confine them, and forget about our elderly. So that's where I'm at right now. So I don't know if I guess it's a victory. I don't know. What do you guys think? I think God is good. I just didn't understand what he was doing with all that.
I consider it a victory. I mean, you've endured. You've gone through much. And now here you are coming out on top, especially with the way things are going now in our country. That's very good news to hear. It's good to hear something decent is happening versus the level of insanity and criminality that is running amok. Mm-hmm. That's me being real with that. I don't have another way to really, another way to say it or look at it. It's a mad, mad, mad world. And the fact that you can get some justice out of it, that's pretty cool. I'm down with that. And I'm down with that for anyone, gift for you, a gift for those out there that are making a difference, that are getting something that's worthwhile, putting a dent in the enemy's armor, for lack of a better term.
But I'm praying that something good will come out of what happened back in April this year, under the Obama communist care. Okay, they forced all doctors. Every doctor was forced. Now, I've never seen this happen. It was a new act that was enacted into law, and it went into effect in April, and it was called the Sunshine Act. The Sunshine Act specifically stated that all doctors must report all pharmaceutical kickbacks or money received by pharmaceutical companies, and they did a census on these doctors. These doctors could not get out of the census. I mean, and now I was praying as I was watching this go down, as I was watching every settlement in the millions and billions against these pharmaceutical companies, and just praying and praying over, praying that God would do some movement in there. My first thought was, oh my God, is Obamacare going to use this information and find out the doctors that make the most money? Are these going to be the only doctors that we're going to have? The ones that are definitely on the enemy side, and we're all going to be doped up and drugged against our will. I was thinking about that on one hand, and then I was thinking about, no, you know, I wonder, God, you know, can you do something really great with this? Can you not only expose the ones that make a lot of money and hurting us, but can you do something to where we can punish them? You see, I want it to be a felony. I want them to lose their license. I want all of their houses, their vacation homes, their cars, their boats, their stocks, everything taken away from them. I want them to be, I want them to go to jail. You see, I want them to be left with nothing. They did it for the money. They hurt people for the money. And I want it all to be taken away from them. And I want them to do some jail time. And I want them to lose their license. And I want them to never, ever be able to practice again in medicine. Because the Hippocratic Oath, which is kind of thick, it's a Greek oath. And if you know about paganism and stuff like that, I guess I could probably going to get sidetracked here. But the oath states to do no harm to none. And that is an oath that they take, that they are not to do any harm, that they are not to harm humanity, and that they are to carry on their medical practice in a more moral and an ethical way. And I do not consider taking pharmaceutical kickbacks. I think that's going against their oath. And not only that, and this is thought-provoking, and I think everybody needs to think about this, so they did this, but they were going off and being paid for meetings that they went to and doing speeches and luncheons and things like this, so they were basically talking about these drugs. They were educating about these drugs. They were pushing and advocating for these drugs. But you cannot tell me that they were innocent and did not know what these drugs did. They just turned a blind eye to the money. And I want them to go to jail. I hope something good comes out of this. I hope that God starts creating this wave and taking out doctors that do these types of practices. And I want them to go to jail. I want them to lose everything. And I want hopefully some of the victims that are dying, our troops that are dying, from these drugs, our children that are dying, our elderly that are dying, somebody can get some compensation back for the families that have to carry on because their loved ones were killed by these drugs and by these doctors, and somehow get a form of compensation for their losses, to bury their loved ones, or depending upon those people's lives, maybe they're possibly their debts or things of that nature, or possibly do like what we do when bad things happen to us. We become a springboard and we become a advocate and we become the world shakers from our loss. And some of these people can maybe open up organizations to help other people get through what they've been through. So that's my hope and my prayer. I'm praying that something good come out of this.
That's a good thing. It'll be good to see some justice come out of this. I like to see some justice in relation to the whole Obamacare issue. I just came across this article here. This is on PrisonPlanet.com, which is tied to Infowars.com. It says, White House orders insurance companies not to criticize Obamacare. So these insurance companies, from what I've read here, they can't say anything remotely negative or contradictory about Obamacare. If they do, they get a smack on the wrist and get a call or some kind of writ from the White House. And if they continue on, then, well, stupid stuff comes their way. Things happen. And that's not fair. It's not fair at all.
Communists in the facts. Not able to speak out against your tyrant of the times. Straight up communism right there. Not able to where did our constitution of free speech
something of a felony right now, if memory serves me correct. You can't even speak freely.
Wow. It can't be slander if it's true. And people out there, you know what, you got to stand up for against this. It cannot be slander. It cannot stand in a court of law as slander if it is true. It can't be. So it cannot stand. Speaking up against the things that we know about it to be truthful, don't be afraid, because if it's true, believe me, the truth is going to stand on its own, and it's just all going to come out in the wash, you know? We're not making any of it up. I mean, it is what it is, and all we're doing is showing what it is. We don't have to make up anything. We don't have to make up lies about it. We don't have to do any of that. It's death panels. It's communist care. They will seize your bank accounts. They will take all your money. They will take your homes. You will get poor care. They're going to make such big bucks off of this, and it is going to play right into mass genocide. That's the truth. That's not slander. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's why a lot of doctors, good doctors, our ethical doctors, have walked away from it, because they know exactly what Obama Communist Care is.
Exactly.
They don't want part of it.
I said exactly. I totally agree with
take
you.
Up any we don't have to fabricate any of this crap. No, and not only that, this was my second thought, to be honest with you. When it first came out of communist care, the Obamacare, when it first came out, my first thought was, wow, this is really communist. You can't tell me, you cannot tell me that I have to have health insurance. I hate Western Med, so no thank you. I can't stand your Western mass genocide medicine, so no thank you. I'd rather get healed with God or do something more natural. The second thought I thought about when Obamacare came out was this. Oh, my God. They're going to get, it's like a census. Think for a minute. They're making people go to a website and give out all their personal information, and they know all about you. You're just walking right to the enemy's trap, just like all the tyrants of old days did, and forced you to do a census of all the people. And if you know your Bible really well, one person in the Bible who went against that God said that sensing the people was tyranny. He made that very clear. And David was the only person who ever went against that. David got very mad at his people, and he senses the people, and God punished him and told David to choose his punishment. He got three choices. Either famine will wipe out a majority of your people, or will be on your trail, or I can't remember what the third one was, for 3 years. They were going to have 3 years of famine, 3 years of war, or something else. I couldn't remember what it was. But this was very clear that sensing is not anything of God. God doesn't need to know how many people are on this planet. Think about it. It's a form of control. And getting people to go to this website, give out all your personal information and everything about you, you're basically walking right into the trap of a modern-day census. And now it's just come out in the news. I thought that, too. This is probably the third thought I thought. Oh, my God. If everybody's personal information is right out there online, somebody can take it and do something bad with it. And it just came out yesterday that a security hole was found in Obamacare. Well, duh. That means that whoever has gone to that site, your information has been breached. You are not. You could have your identity stolen. People can do anything to you now. If the people have been hacking into this insight, just think about a criminal's. This is a criminal's. This is like going to an amusement park for a criminal. Adobe was hacked yesterday. If you got Adobe on your computer, you might want to do some serious cleaning up on your computer. Adobe was hacked, and it affected 38 million users. Now, online banking and things such as that, do use Adobe. Do use Adobe programs. For the love of God, change your usernames, change your passwords, clean up your systems. The people today right now, the most precious thing you have right now is the money that's going to help you make it through this. Start dealing in cash. Do not leave all your money in a bank account. I keep telling everybody that. Clean up your passwords. Change your passwords. This is a major breach of information. 38 million users, that's all that they can estimate so far, they're not even done yet, have been hacked into through the Adobe site, and that includes all you people, all you sheep out there who really thought the government was looking out for you and you went to that Obamacare website. You need to close the account you're using right now, and you need to open a different account, and you need to get different debit cards to it. You can consider yourself compromised, period. Leave no traces that these criminals can have about your personal banking information. And that's something I wanted to add tonight, because that's very important. And sure enough, my insight was right. So I was thinking that many, many years ago when it first came out. I mean, I was just thinking about way too much, I guess. But sure enough, there it was. There it is right there. So telling everybody what you need to do to take good care of yourself. The only thing that you need to, you've got to protect your money. You must. You're going to need it, and you're going to need it in the cash form. I hope people out there are listening and giving it some thought. Just all I can say is, I'm giving you advice. You can take it or you can leave it. That's all I can do.
We have a caller, area code 914. 914.
Hi. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, good shot. Takes courage. Boy, I'm going to be praying for you. And, you know, you're right about it's murder, really. And I'm sorry, but if there's going to be all the way up the chain, people claiming they don't know, it's like, hey, let's go take a look in your kitchen. You know, the property will be seized, just like you said, and let's take a look at what they're eating, claiming they don't know, they didn't know. I don't care what kind of a system they went through. Let's take a look at what they had in their kitchen. So the problem is that there lacks sort of maybe our knowledge, you know? So anybody out there listening, have my words go out.
I kind of wonder
every word, let them know we're studying the Black Slaw. There are people studying Black Slaw. There are people studying the law. And I just want to say that I hope that you are just, like, bombarded with other collaborators, you know?
I have a very big global cause, which I actually got back into. I didn't like to go back to Facebook, but I've gotten back on Facebook because I'm going to need those connections. And I didn't want to, but you know what? Doggone it. You know, I've worked with some pretty powerful people on this issue, and I need them. I need them right now. I not only need them, but I know I need to help them because we've been all doing it in trickles, and it's time to become a force on this issue.
And there are so many people who've been affected by exactly what you have been. My experience is that you can pretty much randomly, you know, stop people on the street, and they know at least one or two or several people who are dead as a result of the kind of drugs that you're talking about. We all know this, you know? Mm-hmm. So we haven't gone to medical school, so then somebody's going to claim to say they didn't know what they were doing. Let's take a look in the kitchen. What are you eating? Why are you eating it?
Yeah. Right.
Last question.
We're banging the gong. I mean, we're trying our hardest. I mean, you know, the truth really does hurt. It does hurt sometimes. I mean, Johnson & Johnson, we've been hot on their trail for the cancer-causing properties they're putting in our baby's products, the products that we're using on our babies. And they were sued, and they're no longer allowed to use the cancer-causing chemicals they've been putting in these children's baby wash. And we've been staying hard, and it was just in the news not very long ago. We've been staying hard on their trail. A lot of people out there haven't forgotten all the people that lost their house in the marketing scam. J.P. Morgan Chase was sued $19 billion for people like us that didn't give up and didn't stop and kept banging that gong and making and sticking it in someone's face and saying, this is wrong, and we're not just going to be silent about it anymore.
Yep.
You know, we're not going to be quiet. And you can't make us be quiet about it until everybody starts becoming aware of it. Like the GMO, like you said, look in the kitchen, the GMO, and the nano stuff that's being put in our food and all this other crap. So it's not slander if it's true.
Oh, no. Oh, see, that's so true, what you were saying. Exactly true. I know that first-hand experience. Really, if it's true, and we are being watched, so the truth is a very, very, very safe thing, actually. Because, you know, there are a few doctors who know about this thing who are walking away. So the people who really didn't participate, they're going to be just fine. The truth of what they did is protecting them. But to the goofballs, yeah. You know, because, you know, the Sandy Hook thing, that was, you know, a lot was uncovered there. The people kept at it. There are a lot of ways to bang the gong. There are a lot of ways to get information out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That are not controlled by money.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. I'm sure there's a lot of doctors out there that had a very lucrative business. I've actually listened to some of their interviews because I really wanted to know why they walked away. You know, they're the ones who are going to know a lot more than we do about when it was first being brought out. And it was really interesting. I mean, one point taken, we learned about death panels from, I'm a global mental health advocate, and that's based on my son's traumatic brain injury. And then also was one of the major advocates that was pushing and pushing and pushing for post-traumatic stress syndrome to be recognized in our military, only to watch them now dying of the psychotropic drugs they're forcing these people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm livid over that. I'm livid, but going back to the neuroscientist, he was a brain injury doctor. And he worked on your brain. He was the first one to come out and openly say, I will not be a part of Obamacare. he was the first one to start telling us about the death panels. Now, I'm going to elaborate on that. He told us that if you were in a brain accident at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, he had to call a panel and explain your chances of dying or living. And based on those statistics, he was told to let you die if there wasn't a greater chance of you living. Now, this is Obamacare that he was talking about. This wasn't just...
Commie care. I'm going to call it commie care.
No, and he said, I don't want any part of this. I got into brain health and brain medicine based on something that had happened personally in my own family. And isn't that what always does happen? Something touches our heart, a disaster touches our heart, and we find our calling and we find our purpose here on life. And that's what he found. And he said, I did not go into medicine to just watch people die. I went into medicine to heal them and give them a better chance of life after a brain injury or after a brain tumor or cancer or something of that nature. And he was appalled, and he said, if this continues and if this does pass and if this does go down, I will walk away, and I don't care how much I have invested in my practice, my equipment, all my money, all my heart, all my soul, all my schooling, I will walk away from this because I will not be a part of this. I will not be a part of death panels. And this just took a springboard with us truthers, and we were trying to get it all out there. Few people did not want to believe that Obamacare could be anything attached to this nature. So we had a lot of beating on. They beat on us, you know. People were like, this is stupid. That's a conspiracy. There's no proof. There's nothing. Oh, shut up. This is dumb. This is good for America. Okay, fine. Wait till you get your Obamacare. You're really going to love it. That's all I could say is, boy, you're going to really love what your Obamacare is going to do for you. You know?
They don't understand why they're getting sick. They don't understand why they're getting sick.
Exactly.
I know. They think the medicine's good, see? They don't know that's what's killing them. They're starting to wake up, the more contacts they have. But do they not realize that it's just like you said, everybody can get drugged according to what they think? Do they not realize that if they don't, it says it right in there, if you don't follow their medical quote advice, it's not advice anymore. They are dictating to you what kind of meds you need to be on, and if you don't do it, they're going to fine you. And if you can't pay the fine, you're going to jail. Period.
Right. Or how about this
one? Don't people realize that?
How about this one? Don't stop that poison without speaking to your doctor first. How about that one? That one really gets me every time. Don't get off this poison without speaking to your doctor first. Well, what is your doctor, if he's unethical, going to do? He's going to switch your poison to another poison, because that's the whole goal, is to keep you sick, because, see, he makes a lot of money doing that. And
exactly.
So do the pharmaceutical companies.
Exactly.
And it is sick. It's sick, you know? And then we look at our helpless children who don't even understand how to go to the news, look up the drugs they're on, and get help and say, I don't want that. If they don't want that, they're told they must take it, that they're a youngster and they don't know what's right for them. Or parents that say, don't you dare give my child Viagra, which is Wellbutrin that was sold for $3 billion. What are we giving Viagra to kids for? And a parent like me that said, you will not give my son that. It's been sued for $3 billion. And they said, well, excuse me, but you're not a doctor and you don't know what you're talking about. And I'd say, well, you know what, I'm not Consumer Report either, but if you tell me the crib is dangerous for my baby, I'm not putting it in it. I don't have to be a doctor.
They'd have to look up the big words, though. They'd have to look up the big words. Because you're probably like me. See, it's not like I just listened and heard this somewhere and then went, oh, I guess that's true. I'm like the kind of person who, like, I have to go right in there and experience it for myself. And God knows that's caused me and a lot of other people trouble, too. But my point is that, you know, I did a lot of looking up of this stuff before I was going to say anything. But I guess, you know, people don't want, they're going to do stupid. I don't know. Too long words,
yeah,
too long, too many letters or something.
Put it in your shopping cart without reading your labels. I mean, learn what's in that label. If it's this and it's that. I mean, And it's another thing that's the big controversy is, my God, haven't we learned what's really in our vaccines? Is everybody really running out and getting their flu shot? I pray to God not. That's the most dangerous thing you could do to your body. It's got mercury in it. It has aluminum in it. It has all this other kind of crap in it. Theramol. Why would your body need that? You don't need that to fight off a disease. All it does is break down your immune system. It makes you sick, and you may never recover from it because once you've been exposed to it, the body doesn't know what to do with that. And if you're getting this every year, what are you doing? I mean, people are starting to get Parkinson's disease from this. It's causing muscular issues. It's causing genitive problems. It's breaking down your... Some of these people can't even walk after they got it. Some people are lobotomized after they've gotten majority of the vaccination shots, and now they're enforcing it on our six-month-year-olds.
Oh my God.
They
take them right at birth.
Wicked, you know?
They take them right at birth. They take them right at birth claiming there's, you know,
Wicked. They're making... Bill Gates is behind all this. He's the richest man on the planet. He is a mass murder genocidist. And I'm not scared to say that. That's not slander. That's
no,
truth.
He is a
mass murder genocidist for creating all of these and going over to foreign countries and killing people all over the world, including here in the United States, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He is a population control advocate. He wants to control the population. He says it, and he has openly stated that. So it's not slander. It's the truth.
It's not. No, it's really not.
He has said it.
You know, the other thing, you know, the other thing that gets me is like that most people cannot see this this performance with the computer connected to the common care. Meaning, like, you know, not only, you know, it reminds me of what they do with the DMV offices. You know, it's like this annoying, horrible, crazy thing to do anyway. And this is with all the high tech and extra people they've hired, you know, with the guns and the belts and the uniforms, you know, to guard this and that. There's a line around the corner for the DMV. See, that's what they did with the, it's a psychological tactic because if you have to wait and hover. So it was like, not only did the site not work, you know, is what was reported, you know, you got to picture them, right? Especially the older people hovering by the computer, you know, the ones who take the common care. They had to get in there first, you know.
They're making us pay $9 billion for their hiccup and oops. Did you hear that?
And waiting to do it, waiting for the bated breath to do it, to go give all their information
out. I don't want it. It's against my free will, God. It's against my free will. I say
it's
no.
It's my body,
not their body. This is against my free will. And I would have to add that I think that we need to look a little bit deeper into McPhee's antivirus tycoon that actually created the McPhee antivirus. I think he was approached. He was approached to do something that compromised him. And just like what they do for a lot of these people, they throw them under the bus. And then they say that they did this and they did that. And they make up lies about them, just like they do our Hollywood. A Hollywood that won't go along with this agenda in dumbing down America and pushing the satanic crap in our face through the music and the videos and stuff like that. When they will not play the game anymore and they will not stick with the program to absolutely ruin all of our morals and corrupt, you know, just totally corrupt us. They throw our Hollywood under the bus, and they next thing you know, they're in the news, and this and that, and everything like that. Do you know they do that? It's like a mafia. They'll throw you right under the bus. And they look what they did with all the generals they let go. I'm sure Pierre has been all over that. What really happened with all of our generals that they let go? Did these guys really do that, or did they paint it that they did all those things, but they really just took down our defense? And they just got rid of them because they were the only ones that could specialize in certain things, and they just weren't going to go along with the program anymore because, quite frankly, our sheriff and our military are lividly pissed at our government, and they're not going to go along with this plan and this game. And I believe they're standing up against it, and so what they're doing is they're getting rid of the ones that will not go along with the agenda, and they're firing them, and that's exactly what they know exactly what they're doing. And
that's an excellent question.
How I feel about that.
It's an excellent question. Who are they? So does anybody know them firsthand? Who are they?
We'll never know who's at the top of the pyramid, but I would have to say it's Satan. I mean, it's got to be somebody.
They
just
have
like,
faces,
we'll
right?
Never know.
Weren't they photographed? Weren't they photographed in some press conferences somewhere?
I don't know.
Who are they? Or was it a big show?
I don't know.
I'm just saying. That's a good question, though. Who are they?
I think we see peaks in pictures of them, and we never know if they're just the back people behind that. But you have to understand that everything on this planet right now is run by Big Bank. It's run by a force of some type of money and, money laundering, fraud, corruption, and something of that nature, and just flat-out tyranny, and someone is paying for the dollar for it to push through.
Exactly. Who's paying the guard? Because they're the guards, military.
Something.
So whoever has the money is paying the guard and telling them what to do. Good point.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for these military men that serve their country. I mean, I really don't know about them individually. I don't know what all they've done. I mean, I don't know their story. I don't know if they were bad. I don't know if they were good. I really don't know all that. But I would venture to say out of that 37, how many were? God, there was a lot let go over the years, and I would have to say a lot of them were good people, because I serve our military, and I listen to them, and I listen to what kind of people they are, and just damn it, I don't believe that they're these bad people that they painted them out to be when they let all those people go. I just don't, my God, I don't believe that. And if anything, they were told to do it, they were forced to do it. And it's not the same as the one behind making him do it. I just can't believe that. I won't believe that. It's just not something that you're going to, that these, that when they let all them go, that they're forcing me to believe. No way. Absolutely.
And then once
no.
again, right, and right, and once again, we get round to the topic of somebody dosing somebody else.
Right.
With toxic, dangerous stuff, or someone using somebody else without their knowledge many times, as an experiment. We're back to the,
Right, and we thank God for all the military that did speak up and for all the people that have been exposing what they've been experimenting on our military. So you cannot get me to believe that they're bad people. I will not do it. And it makes me wonder every time that some military person, I think there were a couple of, maybe it was Army, that were just now in the news for something they'd done. They'd been stealing blah, 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 or something out. Did you hear about that, Pierre? That they were stealing. I didn't get into the article. It was pretty late at night, but they were throwing a whole bunch of military personnel for stealing millions of something. And I was just thinking to myself, is that really the story? Is that really what went down? Or did possibly they discover something that they shouldn't have stumbled upon? Or did they possibly put together something that they shouldn't have figured out? And this is just the easiest way to throw them under the bus, not to pay them for the rest of their, dishonorably charge them, let them go and whatever, and not give them anything because they got a little too close to the truth right now. There is some serious crap going on in the world right now with our with the secrecies that's going on. And we all are knowing that. And the ones that aren't going to play, they're just going to let them go. They're going to throw them under the bus and make them look like cheap crap. And I'm sick of that. I'm sick of that for our military. I mean, these are good people, Really good people.
They have them playing war games. They have them playing violent war games. That's what they're doing. And then they're punishing them for that.
Right.
As if they don't know. They claim to be such experts. in psychology, and yet they do something like this, claiming they don't know. So they get them, they have them doing that all day long, you know, making them more violent and playing war games, and then they get punished when they, you know, act and behave like what they're training them to do. It reminds me of like a parent who would beat a child for crying because they have just beaten them. You know, it's like
exactly. I'll give you something.
Pretty weird.
And are you for real? Are you for real? I agree with that point. And I think it's just, I mean, spiritually, let's hit that note for just a minute. We have been warned about this. We are definitely in some very serious times that we have been warned about. We were warned what would happen during these times, and I would have to say, oh, my God, if it's not all playing out before us. But then again, you know what? I didn't live in those other times. So these are just the tyrants of our days. There have been tyrants and tyrants and tyrants for centuries, and this is our tyrant of these days. However, maybe there is nothing new under the sun as far as the motive, as far as the agenda. However, the toys are more deadlier than they've ever been. The stakes are higher because of these deadlier toys. And the technology and all this stuff, is the stakes are incredibly much higher than they have ever been in any century and in any tyranny rule. So I would have to say parallel to prophecy or parallel to what we were warned about, we are definitely hitting it. They were right on the money at what they warned us for the times to come, and here we are now in this. It's definitely, they were definitely right. And my God, I can't just, oh my God. So I just, it's overwhelming sometimes when you think about it. But we do know how the story ends, and we do know what's going to happen. We do know that there will be a point where that will be no more. But we won't have the tyrants of our days. We won't have what we've been experiencing for centuries. There will be a cap to that. There will be a day of justice, and all will stand and be held accountable for it. Whether we held them here accountably physically in our own courts that are laughable these days, they're absolutely ridiculously so a truce to justice. But these people will face justice. They will. Whether we can see it or get it done here on this planet at this time. So,
you know, that was really inspiring what you just said. Really, really, really was. It made me think about this. You know, in order to know something, I mean, or to see something, you have to know it. Like, you know, so I'm thinking, yeah, and, you know, in order to even recognize what justice is, one would have to know it first, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is, you can't just, I don't think you just know that as something. There's some sort of a trial and error. There's some sort of things that seem to be required of a person's sacrifice and integrity, you know, to really know justice, to know the truth. I mean, I'm not trying to get like melodramatic about it, but
to put our heads down.
It does seem that way. It seems that, it's like when you were talking about when you were telling a Bible story before, because I'm not a biblical scholar. You mentioned the word David. I thought you were gonna, because I know that I don't know all these stories, so I've never heard that one before.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks. But I thought you were going to talk about David and Goliath, you know?
Oh, uh-huh.
And there's the lion's den. And it's funny because earlier I had called in a program and I was, you know, talking about creativity, you know, saying all this light stuff. And, you know, yet I'm right here with you with the, you know, like into the jail cells you guys are going, you know, and leave all the expensive shit at the door, you know. Probably tally up the thing. So there's something. Some of us have to go in the lion's den, I guess. You know.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we do, and we're here for that. I mean, that's what really our truly our purpose is. And make no mistake about it, we know exactly what our purpose is for some of us. I mean, and that's what we came for. We came for this certain time. We came to take that enemy by its horns, and they know exactly what kind of threat we are. We expose the enemy every day, and we make the people who are unaware or have not been affected, they will be affected by it, and we're sounding that alarm because we're getting them desperately to wake up. We're trying our hardest to get them to wake up before they are affected by it. But the sad part about it is some of these people will never, ever come to that realization until they have been affected by it and they're looking for us. They become searching for us. Why did this happen? Is anybody doing anything about it? How come this is going on? And why is this happening to us? And all we're saying is we were trying to help you all along. We've always been here helping you. We've been struggling.
Yeah.
To help you.
But you know what it is, HC? They don't know justice because they can't, because they've been operating too long in opposite, in the unethical part of life. And justice is not about that. Justice is about the truth. So the ones who can't see, who really can't hear and can't see, it's because they really can't. And there really is a point where we can't sort of do anything to change that. And it's frustrating, too, because when you love and you know, you want to. That's part of that place. So, but those who don't, who can't hear, I think maybe that's it. We don't need to kill ourselves with stuff we don't need to be. We've got enough stuff to be, you know, that's like sort of a heavy burden. Those who don't hear it and don't know it's because it's almost like they don't deserve it. They haven't done the work.
Right, there's actually some prophecy that says that they will never understand. They will never hear. They will never know. They will never comprehend it. They will never. And I think that even God said to Isaiah is my favorite book. I know I've said that many times. You know, come to me and you petition on behalf of these people. I will not hear you. You are wasting your time. Do not pray for them. They are in their own free will. They have allowed this. You need to let them go and not give them any more thought because there's nothing you can do for these people. Prayer and petition will never, ever change this. And people will die on this planet because they never, ever wanted to know in their free will what the truth is. We are God-sent.
That's a psychopath. That's somebody who has said they don't even know that justice exists. Right? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm just afraid I'm going to lose the thought. Right? That's a psychopath. They have come to a place where they think, oh, you know what, there's no God, there's no justice, whatever represents ethics to them. They go, somebody watching sees that they're, that's under the narcissistic umbrella, the psychopath. They go, so they let out all the stops. They let out all the stops. There really are people, I've met them, who get really hurt by that, because we all know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe I'm a little twisted, I mean, just about that. For some reason, I can't help but disregard that. Not is to disregard God, but just on that same level, there's something in me. I don't know what's wrong with me, but then again, I do see that God does it all the time in the Bible. He throws his hands up in there and he says, I give up on you people. I'm tired of this. I give up on you. I don't know what else to do to make you understand. And he gives up. And then the next breath, he says, oh, my God, how can I give up on you? I love you. I love you. I can't help but love you. I'll always love you. I just wait for you to understand. And then he has that hope that we'll get it and that we will just get it. And I'm a lot like that. There are a lot of people I have been so angry with, so frustrated with, and I don't know what else to do, and I just throw my hands up in the air, and I just don't know what else to do with these people. But then again, something happens in their life, some kind of hardship, and isn't that just the way it always is, some kind of hardship, some kind of loss, some kind of something, and the next thing I know, something in their life changed them, and they became different, and they got moved, or something of that nature, and it just something beautiful happened there to where they were seeking me back out again, and they were saying they were sorry to me. And I don't know why that is, but it is like that. And I was going, there's nothing to be sorry for. I was frustrated because I was trying to help you. But then again, I you know what, we all grow in our own way. So I guess you had to grow. I guess you had to grow. You had to go through this certain experience for you to just get it that I was just looking out for you, that I really did care about you. But that's, I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
That's right. No, you do know. Because, you know, before even we as human beings know that when we love someone, it's always there. It doesn't go away. But those who don't know the love, see, they don't know that. You don't know that until you know that.
Right.
You can't read it in a book.
Right.
It requires some sacrifice, some work,
And only hardship can do that for some crazy reason. I don't know why. I mean, that's thought-provoking within its own right. What is it about hardship and loss? Like I said, I think I've said it a couple times on some shows, you know, maybe the best thing that happened to you was that tornado. You know, maybe the best thing that ever happened to you was you losing your job and struggling for a bit and not having any money. There's something that can be, there's only something that hardship, and I don't know why, maybe it's the ego. Maybe the ego had to be contained and a little bit, you know, disciplined. And the ego had to be rebuilt, not on earthly terms, but more on a spiritual level, so that that ego could rise above this earthly crap here in order to be ready for the next step on its soul journey. And hardship can only do that to you. Pain, loss, suffering, tears. I don't know why, but it just does that. It builds some things that only these horrible, horrific things can do into one's soul progress and being able to reach the ultimate soul level. I don't know why that is. I mean, you know, it just is what it
changes.
Is.
I think it changes.
Yeah, maybe
you.
The ego has to be let
it
go.
It changes you. It really, really changes you. It changes you in this way, which is a surprise always, because nobody likes pain. Human beings don't like pain and hardship in any form, right? And yet, if love pulled you, sort of calling to you, right? You know,
right.
And you go into the fire, into what looks like it's going to be pain, into the lion's den, so to speak, and you find that actually it's not like that. It's not like what it looked like. There's something about you that's different forever. You have more, even more courage. You like I think it's in Plato. Probably probably in lots of places, you know, in literature and things on the earth. But he says you can't. The only way to get courage is to be courageous. There's no other way.
I love that. You know, I was thinking about that analogy of speaking with a lady that was going through a lot at my work, and she was a customer. You know, it's kind of nice where I work out. We're not this slam bam, get it done and get to the next person. We're actually able to sit and spend a lot of time with our military and assisting them. And it's not about a hurry process. It's about really excellent customer service. And I was speaking with a woman. And it was funny, her life was the same type of life I was going through at her age. And she was going through the same circumstances I was going through at that age. And we had this beautiful conversation, and I said, you know, it's really beautiful if you think about it, because you're being cultivated like a pearl, and a pearl can never, ever, ever come to be without much abrasion and hardship. A pearl is cultivated under such distress and environment, and then it becomes this most precious gem. It's just ironic, isn't it, that it has to be that way, but it just is.
Diamonds are like that too.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the world in such distress, and I'm looking at the pearls that are being cultivated at this time.
You know, I was just thinking, we're probably so foolish because we have our values in different places that we're thinking they're like mining and doing experiments on us because they want to create, you know, human beings and bodies and stuff. But meanwhile, they're trying to figure out how to make a real pearl and a real diamond.
Exactly.
You know.
There's a famous joke. I really love this joke. I think it's very ironic. Makes me laugh every time I hear it. And a bunch of scientists had gotten together, and they decided that they knew how to make a man. And they went to God, and God said, "Okay, very well. So you know how to make a man?" And they said, "Oh yes, we can make a man now. We know how to make him, and we know how to do that." And God said, "Well, let's have a challenge. Let's make a man-making contest. You and I, we'll get together and we'll make a man." And the scientist said, okay, that's great. We can do that. We can make a man. Sure, we know exactly what we're doing. And God said, great. Yeah, you're going to make a man just like I did from the beginning. And they go, okay, yeah, that's great, just like you did from the beginning, because, you know, a lot of them are evolutionists. And he was later like, yeah, sure. We got the Big Bang Theory down. That's what the LH Kern is all about. Sure, we can do this. And God said, great. He said, okay, so we're going to make it just like I did and from the beginning. And they said, yeah. And he says, okay, you're going to make them from dirt. And they said, yeah, I think we can do this. We can make it from dirt. Yeah, I think we can do this. Okay, we're up for the challenge. And God said, okay, well, get your own dirt. You can't use the dirt I created. You have to use your own dirt. So start figuring out how to make dirt. And I love that joke because no matter how egotistical people become in trying to create what was already perfect in the beginning, they will never be able to create it in all of their wisdom, and it'd be infallible to them. They cannot create what God created from the beginning. It's impossible.
You're right. You're really right. My mind went all over this place. You know,
I know, right? It was intense, yeah, wasn't it?
I didn't even know if I should say this, but I can't resist it because it's such an interesting metaphor. Because you're talking about dirt, and I started to think about soil. You know, and how there's a real problem with that because of the radiation, all kinds of reasons, right? And
exactly.
Really, also the sludge, the sewage, and I started to think, you know, it's really sort of like human beings, you know. With the dirt issue, we can't, in terms of having our own good dirt to, you know, make some human being, which they can, you know, you can kind of thread it together. You know, there's carbon and, you know, we're carbon-based and all that. But here's what I really want to say is because human beings, we still don't really even figured out what really to do with our dirt, with our shit, so to speak. It's kind of an interesting metaphor because it's like that's what people want to do with their shit, like their bad deeds. They want to tend to hide it away, which is going to continue to create blocks to what to do with it, because anything you want to hide away, you don't want to look at it. I mean, come on, think of it. It doesn't make sense. How can you figure out what to do with something if you won't look at it for what it is or something? Now, I don't know. This is probably why I went off in a weird place. It's a metaphor, I know.
Okay, you must be a deep thinker too. So, I mean, that's all right. I think a lot. My nickname at work is the analyst. I worked in security for a while, and I did really well in security, and I really enjoyed that, and that's just the way my mind thinks. I'm always the protector, and I want to protect people, and in security, you got to catch crooks, right? You got to catch the crooks, and so you have to be a deep thinker to be able to do that.
For the analyzation. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to be able to analyze things and look at things and see if you're being duped to believe that somebody was really frauded because they're really the fraudster, or were they actually the victim, you know, in the in the situation? And you have to...
And there are... Yeah, go ahead. Exactly. Yeah, no. I should probably shut up. Well, I was just thinking, and there are other ways to use the love of, like, trying to solve a mystery other than in that very physical setting, as you know.
Right. There's many times I just kind of sat back and tried to use my intuition. And sometimes I even ask God, you know, what's going on here? What's really happening here? And he would show me, and sure enough, the evidence would point to it, and then I would know how to help the person. And so definitely, you know. Pierre and Elizabeth, are y'all still there? Pierre and Elizabeth?
I'm still here. Of course I'm here at least. Pierre dropped off. He's tired and everything.
Oh, okay. And so what do you have to add to it being spiritual?
I was kind of listening here and there. But so my attention span is like really short at times. I'm feeling the greatest today. But anyways... Yeah, we're living in prophetic times, and things are rapidly deteriorating like none other. Pierre hinted about this earlier, but I want to just give it out bluntly like it is. Our source divulged a bunch of information tonight, as he always does, and ISIN has changed its path, and now the EU is panicking, you could say. They're wanting to warn people of getting that bad. The core of the earth is speeding up in the opposite direction, and the other, like the crust of the earth or whatever, is going in the other opposite direction. And
oh,
he said,
God.
Yeah. He
and
said
me
that.
A prophecy of it, the earth shaking from to and fro, and it's not just going to be one geographical earthquake. It's going to be a massive shaking of the whole. You remember, and I've been really giving it a lot of thought about God's Pangea.
Isaiah 4,
yeah.
The wet earthquake, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, yeah. And he said that once what it will cause it to do is the earth will stop for 20 days, and then everything will go insane. You'll have that worldwide earthquake then. And then you said at that point, everyone will know for what things are, what's really going on in the world. That's what he said. And it makes sense because that goes a part of the sixth seal of Revelation 6. And also he mentioned with the meteorites, they're not going to end until Jesus comes back. So they're increasing in intensity. He actually gave specifics of the meteorites, and if you look at the first trumpet of Revelation 8, yeah, they're really coming down in that form, from what he said, because he, you know, he's top up in this rank. He knows
well, and he knew what they'd be doing with the LH currents and what they're doing to our universe. So he knows about the Star Wars. He knows what the... You know, what would be, you know, the machinery that would be in the, you know, up in our atmosphere, the chemtrail, the, you know, all the drones and all the crap that would be going on that can definitely shake up the universe in such a way that would create such, you know, everything being thrown off a track as far as, like, in a space, you know, our universe.
Yeah, exactly. And the people that are not waking up to this and they're not warning others, they're the ones getting hit by these meteorites right now, is what he said.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that makes sense because, I mean, they're the ones being punished. They're the ones experiencing God's wrath because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm.
So... yeah, but like 600 houses were destroyed recently, and many people died from these meteorites. They're like the size of baseballs to small little aircraft. Yeah, but there's supposed to be like a big one coming November 27th, and there's a 70% to roll to the Earth too.
Excuse me. I'm still getting better. Excuse me. Well, I was just thinking tomorrow's Halloween. That's so sentient. I mean, that is just, I mean, really, if this world really lived or got to see the demonic things that they glorify on Halloween, it would scare the pants off of them. I mean, zombies walking the earth, blood-sucking things, and all this stuff, and the most demonic, most phallus spiritual realm. And then tomorrow, if you know anything about Satanists, and a lot of our world leaders are really into them, into the Satanism aspect, and they glorify that. You also have to know that tomorrow is going to be a massive sacrifice. There's going to be a lot of human sacrifices that are going to be going down because they have to pay homage to the bloodthirsty gods they give all their glory to. And tomorrow is, with Halloween coming up. I mean, people think this stuff isn't real. This stuff is very real, and human sacrifices and stuff like that is incredibly real still to this day. This is not just something that happened in ancient times. It's been going on since the beginning of time, and there will be a lot of people that will lose their lives tomorrow because their gods that they worship is about destruction. And it's about death and all that other stuff, and that's just who they pay homage to. So I just had to bring that up. Tomorrow's Halloween.
Yeah, that's true.
And my place that I was working at said, okay, everybody dress up, dress up for Halloween, and I just looked at them. I said, I don't observe that. I will not observe that, and I don't observe that. So I'm sorry, I'm not dressing up tomorrow, and I hope I don't get in trouble for that. And I said, no, you're fine. You don't have to do that. I said, well, that's just terrific. So I'm not partaking.
I was going to infiltrate.
Dress
up as a nun and infiltrate and pass that information. That's bad candy. But here's the thing. It's like, and to boot, continue to teach children about this. It's scary if nothing else. I mean, and then associate it with candy? Like, how crazy.
Right? And that's like Santa Claus to me. I don't observe any of that.
I know, right?
That's straight. That's just get that
really.
It's
a big lie. They lie to you. Literally a huge lie. The first time when I found out about Santa Claus, that was the first thing through my mind. I looked at my mother and I said, you've been lying like this? Because what went through my mind is all the elaborate ways the adults had gone through to keep this lie. I remember standing there going like, for what? Are you crazy? Like, about 5 or 6. I'll never forget that. It was a lie.
Exactly. Yeah. You're teaching your kids to talk to strangers, which is Santa. You're teaching your kids that
sitting on his lap and putting
his really
creepy.
Creepy. And people think you're weird because you don't observe these pagan holidays.
They go on ahead thinking.
Things wrong with you. You know, it's just fun and games, and they think it's all that stuff, and it's all fun and games. And you're like, no, if you really know the history of those and you really understand exactly what it is, you're not gonna want to partake in it.
Regardless of that, because that's too heavy for children to know about, but I'm telling you, they're scared. I saw a parade about a week ago at the public library here, and all kids dressed up, parents were walking them around, so they were crying. It's scary, that stuff. Skulls and death and ghosts. They come at night, and nobody else. The kids just, they know. It's scary. Why do that?
Yeah, and then they
why do that?
They make kids. I've actually gone into stores, and I'll be sitting there shopping for food, and then they have all the Halloween stuff up, and then you got some jerk They're trying to scare their kids, okay?
Yeah.
And the baby is crying. And then they're going, what are you, little weenie? You know, calling them all these names, you big sissy baby. I mean, you know, it's just, I'm just playing. I'm just having fun. And the kid's terrified out of their minds. And I'm thinking, you're traumatizing your kid. You wicked person. Why are you doing this? Your child is traumatized. And then they do this to the kids every year, and they think it's funny. And I think it's wicked, and it's terrible, and it's traumatizing our children. And I think it is so wrong. But I'm a weirdo for feeling that way. I'm a weirdo for wanting to go over there and comfort the child that's crying. I'm the one that's the weirdo, because the child is obviously crying, and I think it's so wrong to do that. I never, ever allowed my children to go through stuff like that. I said, you want to get candy? We'll get it a different way, but we're not going to go out and go, you know, strangers' doors and get, you know, no. It's not going to do that. No. And I don't have to be of this world, and I don't have to do what this world tells me to do if it's totally against my morals, if it's totally against what I think is decent and good. I don't have to partake in it. It's not something I have to do, and it's against my free will, so I say no to it. My kids do not. My kids, as they got older, agreed. They, you know, they thought it was stupid. They think it's dumb. And, you know, if I'm serious. If we wake up tomorrow and all the demonic things that people glorified at Christmas, I mean, Halloween time, we're actually walking on this planet, I don't think that they'd feel that way. I think that they would change their minds. And believe me, those demonic things are real. And we name out, they'd be able to see them, but we can feel them. And they are a big, huge part of this agenda that's happening on this world right now, this planet right now, to destroy everything that's good and decent on this planet. And that stuff is real. It's not imagination.
Speaking of the demonic things you're speaking of now, I had another CHS visit Sunday morning. My husband believes it's between 3 and 4 a.m., and I was in bed, and they stayed at the street, but I recognized the MRAP vehicle. By the sound of it, I knew it was them. And I think they stayed around 5 minutes. I don't know. It could have been longer, but it felt like 5 minutes to me because I was sleeping. And I was in a dream state, obviously. Well, I praise God that he protected me and he kept those things away from me. But at the same time, you know, it's a test. And I know it's God preparing me for what is coming on the earth and what is currently coming on the earth. But while I was sleeping, I believe they sent a very cruel, very cruel demon to attack me. The most cruel I have ever experienced. I mean, I've had to deal with other demons, but this one was just cruel. And I was trying to cast it out in the dream state because it was attacking me psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't leave. So I had to literally wake up for maybe a minute or two. And I was, you know, it's blurry when you wake up and all that jazz. And at that point, I cast it out. I said, you know, what you're supposed to say to cast it out. And then it still wouldn't leave, but it kind of helped weaken its power at that point, but it still wouldn't fully leave. So I was like, okay, that's it. I'm getting my sword of the spirit out, you know, your invisible sword. You don't need to have an actual real sword made by man. You have your sword of the spirit if you have Jesus in your life. You have the armor of God on you at all times, as you read in Ephesians 6. So I pulled it out, and I gave it what it needed, and it left. Completely left. And so at this point, game is on with me. They're now officially attacking me at this point. And they've always, I've noticed every time when they do come over here, they change their tactic every time. They try and attack me a different way every time because they don't know how to deal with me, and they are afraid. I hope that by me conquering and overcoming that demon by the blood of the Lamb, word of my testimony, and armor of God, you name it, that they are even more scared now because they came to my house in the wee morning witching hours, which is between 3 and 4 a.m.
Right.
And that they will leave me alone. They'll continue to keep their distance. Fine, send a demon. I'll overcome that demon. But that they'll keep their distance from me because I have Jesus in my life and I have more power than they ever will have. They're already defeated and they know it. So, 1 John 4:4, for all those of you who don't know what I'm saying here exactly. But, yeah.
I don't think some people don't even know what demonic warfare, you know, really is. Some people may not understand exactly what happens to them when that's going on. I mean, I'll tell you what, any time that I try to do something really great for the world, they're hot on my pursuit. They do not want me to succeed in what I came here to do. I mean, that's a form of spiritual warfare. Blockage, just constant seeing my moves, constantly making it harder, making it so much harder to reach the goal. That's one form of it. Or temptations, or, you know, fighting with people, or things like that, or such as loss. There's so many different ways that they battle. You know, that they have their ways that they battle against us as we keep continuously to go, you know?
Definitely, yeah. And it's interesting because I even, you know, when you're in tune with God, you can feel the evil. And I felt the evil clear to my bedroom that night. My husband didn't feel a thing, but I felt it. And I questioned him later. I'm like, how come you didn't feel anything? You should have felt something, especially since you claim to be a Christian. You should have felt something. And he couldn't really give me an answer.
Him.
What?
Maybe it wasn't intended for him.
It may not have, but it did come in our house. He should have felt something. He should have at least felt the evil in the street from the Nephilim being there. He should have at least felt that.
I was thinking about, now, some of these people that put on shows like that, you know, they talk about how they isolate. They isolate a person. They try to get people alone because they can work on that person when they're alone. You know, they have some way that they do that. I don't know how they do that. I don't know why they do that. Maybe they probably know that there's strengths in numbers, but I've heard that they work on people when they're alone. And that's why people who are alone can be hit with, like, a depression, and you don't understand where that depression's coming from, but you're not with other people, and they know exactly what they're doing. They're working on you when you are at your most vulnerable, sorry, you're alone because you're not with somebody. And I think if you think about that for a minute in a thought-provoking way, more children are approached alone are afraid in their bedrooms at night and they, you know, because they're not with their parents and things such of that nature. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. I mean, that's what they specialize in. But maybe did it to you because you were somewhat, your husband was asleep. And therefore, consciously, he was somewhere else and not consciously in tune with you. And therefore, and in some kind of ways, you were alone. Does this make sense?
That does make sense, is what you just said. Yeah.
Yeah, because he was in a different reality in his dream state or different wavelength, you know, different... I don't know where we go when we sleep, okay? I mean, I don't understand all the complexities of the mysteries of life, but we are somewhere else in that dream state, and therefore you were alone because you were in a different reality than him while he was sleeping. That's just how I perceive it. I'm sorry. I don't know if that was right.
But I mean, they can, those demonic idiots can read our brains. So, yeah, I can see
well,
that.
Well, I don't even know because, you know, like the Bible never says that they can. Now, what they can do, they can influence us. Only God can really read our minds. However, they can impose things into our thoughts that we might not have thought about, like hopelessness, fear, you know, we get like, you know, but then again, you know what, some people are talking about this harp technology that actually if they point a harp machine at you, you will feel dread. You can feel like you've got to go somewhere and you don't, there's nowhere you need to go, but all of a sudden you got this overwhelming feeling, oh my freaking gosh, I got to go somewhere. And that harp messes with your brain mapping, and that's why they designed it, because it can actually get you to think or do or move or something of that nature, something that you wouldn't want to do, and it's almost like against your will. Kind of like the demonic presence. But I don't believe they can read our minds. I don't believe that because, you know, there's nowhere in Scripture that says that. But, however, it does say that they can influence us, tempt us, or alter our peace that's within us. And so they definitely are the peace robbers. Definitely. You know, and that's exactly what they do. They rob you of your peace and your happiness and your relationship with God. And that's why we have to run after him and beg him to help us. We have to beg him literally to save us from this because we're being attacked and we're being isolated, and they know exactly what they're doing. You know, like I bet if your husband was awake, I just don't think it probably would have happened if your husband was awake. I mean, that's just my first thought.
He probably wouldn't have been home if he was awake.
I mean, my daughter and I had a similar experience. I had something like you're talking about, a very, very scary demonic presence in my home at one time. It was many, 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 many years ago. And it visited me, and it woke me up from sleep. I was in a dead sleep, and the next thing I knew, my body felt like it was a rock, like dead weight into my bed. I was terrified. I don't think I've ever been that terrified in my life. I was absolutely, completely paralyzed and terrorized, just completely afraid. And I immediately started praying, and then my daughter came into the room, and she crawled in bed with me, and she said, something woke me up, and I'm scared something's in the house. And we laid there, and I said, you know what we have to do, and we just immediately started praying, and we started feeling better. But but she was alone in her bedroom, and I was alone in my bedroom, so that's why I'm thinking about what happened to you. Was similar to what happened to us, and then when we got together, we were able to get rid of it. Just
yeah.
A thought.
Yeah, they're definitely upping their game against me, but I think they're definitely getting more and more afraid, which is great.
Yeah, I'm grateful. I mean, I haven't had that experience, so I feel for you. I haven't had one of those in a very, very incredibly long time. But they do love to visit me when I feel like I'm going to have some movement in helping the world, and I feel God is doing something really incredible or something very good, and they love to visit me and try to make me feel hopeless. You'll never reach that goal. You're never going to make that happen. You know that that's never going to go down. You know that these people are going to win. You might as well give up, you know, those kind of thoughts, right? You know, like they can impose those kind of thoughts in you, and you have to go, absolutely not. God's not going to stand for this, so just get, you know, you have to get away from me. Get away from me. That's not true. God is definitely in control in this, and He does care about this matter. So it's not gonna go down like how you say. Just have to try harder.
Right.
Yeah, and keep trying.
Yeah, this is interesting me.
Yeah,
they were done visiting, and well, I knew that. I know that they're still going to visit me until I see Jesus permanently, and I'm with Him forever, which I long for that day. But until that time, I'm going to keep dealing with the DHS and their demonic idiots and Nephilim and all that are with them, and keep doing what I'm doing, you know. But this time I actually had to say something, but it was to a cruel demon. The next time it's going to be face-to-face, or however it all goes down.
Right.
But
I mean, they're banking on give up. I mean, think about how many people committed suicide on this planet that actually started really listening to those voices and really started giving those voices some consideration.
Probably a lot of
people with us, you know, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. It's a calling of the souls. You see, it's like, how many souls can I collect? And, you know, that's the game. The stake is the soul. That's the prize. And so, I really do think that you are correct. They're not going to give up because we're here and we know exactly what our purpose is. And once we do know that, and there's absolutely no way we're ever going to go back or side with them or advocate for them or be a part of them, well, we've drawn our line in the sands and we're enemies to them. Well, that's perfect, because I'm glad to be their enemy. That's just great.
Yeah.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. That's exactly where I stand on that. And no matter how much you pound on me and no matter how much you make my life difficult, I will never join you. I will never join you, and there's nothing you can do about that, and I will not, you know, that's just what it's all boiled down to, don't you agree? That's what it's all about. These times are all about that. Will you give in and join? No, I will not give in and join. I will not be a part of this. I will not.
Yeah, because we know what will happen if you do join.
Well, yeah, I mean, what is it? It's like tetherball, right? You know, they're picking sides here, everybody. They're picking sides. What side do you want to be on? What side are you down for? Who are you going to choose? And who are you going to choose in this game? Because it's, quite frankly, to them, it is a game.
Yeah, to them it is. To us, it's spiritual warfare, and you know how to deal with it, because Jesus is our prime example of that. And you see it throughout scripture, people doing the spiritual warfare. So I mean, we know how to overcome, and I've done it now 3 times, and it's with federal, if you want to call them federal agents, even though I don't believe they are fully federal agents. I believe they're demonic idiots, because I've seen them at my door twice, and now they're in the street, and they're just as afraid of me as they were the last 2 times. So I think as angels, because, I mean, I was asking God to protect me when my enemies come, that His angels will show themselves and they'll flee. So I'm suspecting, I don't know if this happened because I was in my bedroom, but I can only speculate that they maybe saw some angels, spiritual angels maybe protecting this house. Because I can't see them all the time yet, but I know you and I will soon see them, and as well as the rest of the world, the good angels, not the bad. But
it reminds me, the way you were saying that, it reminds me of this story that I heard. It's from a former Satanist who actually got very deep into Satanism. I mean, he was full-blown sacrificing people and everything. I mean, he was drinking blood, whole enchilada. Okay, I was talking about this woman that found out that they were sacrificing in his house, and she lived down the street from them. She knew what they were. She was really into God. And she had said, you know, I'm praying every day against you. I'm praying every day against what you do. You know, I'm going to expose what you're doing here. I'm going to expose that you're killing people and you're, you know, I'm going to expose what you're doing. I know exactly what you're doing. And she had threatened his group. And so what they did is they got in a circle. You know, everybody knows, like, how the Satanists do that. They get in a little circle, you know, and they conjure up whatever they want to conjure up and yada, yada, yada. Well, they get in their little circle and they conjure up this very fierce demon, and they told the demon, they instruct, because you see, someone's always at the hand of these demons. Someone's always instructing them. They're really just slaves, okay? Let's get real here. They're slaves. They're not really like real. It's like voodoo, okay? Somebody's dictating what to do, what they're supposed to do or who they're supposed to attack and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, they go down to this woman's house and they start attacking her, okay? Him and his friends, the little Satanist guy, broke out of the circle, and they're visiting and they were talking and all this other stuff. And they were talking for a little bit. All of a sudden, the demon returned back into the room, and they had to get in the circle to talk to it and find out what it wanted. Okay, you know, what do you want? Why are you back? You know, things like that. And the demon said to them, they said, don't you ever send me to a woman's house that loves God ever again. So that must have been very terrifying. I don't know what happened to that demon. I don't know what it encountered. But the demon was very upset to be sent to someone's house that loved God very, very much. And she was able to get rid of this thing. He said when he was telling the story, he reformed his life and he no longer was a part of that. He said it made him wonder whose side was more powerful. You see, that's why some of them do it. They get into it for the power. Who is more powerful? And then it made him wonder if God was more powerful than Satan. Because he thought what he had, who he was a part of, was more powerful. He saw the evidence of that power. They were very rich, and most Satanists are. They're incredibly wealthy, and they have beautiful houses and beautiful things and beautiful riches, and they're never hungry, and they're never poor, okay? They do have the earthly things. So he thought he was on the team that had the most power because he was incredibly wealthy. He lacked nothing. And so it made me think about that, Elizabeth, that maybe whatever entered your house encountered something that even you and I don't really fully understand, but it was quite powerful enough to make them leave.
Well, yeah, God's protection, and, I mean, I had seen an angel before, you know, and that was back in August, and it was on, like, walking towards my garage door, and it was beautiful of what I was able to catch a glimpse of. And so I'm suspecting, I mean, this is a possibility. I mean, not only is God's presence, you know, with me everywhere I go because I'm the Holy Spirit, but maybe the angels, because I asked God to have the angels show themselves to my enemies so that they will flee. So maybe the angels showed themselves, so they just decided to stay in the street and not come to my door.
Maybe.
I don't know. And so they decided to send a demon instead. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about when we really wish we had, like, good laws. You know, the good laws, right? The laws that everybody, if they adhere to them, it's good for all, right? And now the spiritual realm and heaven has laws. I know this, that, you know, angels and even in the demonic realm have laws they must adhere to. And if those laws are broken or breached or anything like that, there are severe punishments for that. And that includes, like, for demonic beings too. There are only certain things that they're allowed to do, and
right,
being heavenly, because, you know, even the Bible tells us that heaven almost sounds like it's run like a business, and in some kind of ways. You got your courts, You've got your, everybody's got a job. Everybody knows what their job is. Everybody must do their job. And everything is run accordingly in a very orderly, justice, wonderful, beautiful manner. And then you would think that hell would be run the opposite. And if anything does breach that or break those types of laws or requirements that are even within there, there are severe punishments. Much like hell, heaven, earth is run. And I think that's so thought-provoking because the Bible leads us to believe that, you know, earth and heaven has the same type of almost types of statues of how it's supposed to be ran, even if it's not being ran that way. And that's what the justice, the true earthly justice of the writing of all those things that are wronged here, and that's how they're measured upon. But I'm sorry, I think I just got a little off on that. But I don't know why I added that to it, but I just did. But I just thought about it, and I don't know. Maybe they knew that they were stepping out of bounds. They knew that they were breaking something when they came to your house, and there's probably something to that, is why they can't stay, you know?
Yeah, because they've had to totally change their so-called game plan of attacking me. I would guess they would normally come to my door and be all cruel and evil that way, but instead they stayed in the street and they sent a demon instead. So
and you look at Job. You remember Satan challenged God, and God said, "Okay, I'll take that challenge." You know, and God said, "You can do whatever you want to Job, but you can't kill him. You just can't."
Yeah. I remember that.
There's tools. You can test. You can break down that spirit. You can make their life miserable. You can hit them with every kind of hardship that they've ever experienced in life, but you just can't kill them. And terrorize, frighten them, repress them. You see, the demonic the presence, they do all those things, kind of like what they did to Job. And we see such great evidence of that, you know, in the story of Job, all of that. But,
yeah.
I think a lot of people that are, there's so many people that are experiencing spiritual warfare, and maybe they don't know exactly what that is, or they can't recognize it to be what it truly is, you know? Wouldn't you think, like, a lot of people really don't understand that?
Well, yeah, I mean, definitely for the times we're living. I mean, most of this world, I mean, they're so deceived, and they're going to fall for the wicked one soon, and or face death before that, and or already are demon possessed. You know, they don't understand because they're not in the Word of God, and they've chosen either to fall away or, you know, to just conform to the world. You know, well, that's the same thing, but you know what I mean. So
yeah.
They don't know, and I guess once it really does hit the fan next month, I mean, people will know, and they're going to be questioning, like I think you said earlier, you and Pierre mentioned earlier, and, they're going to be wondering, what's going on here? What just happened? They're going to want their questions answered then, and you and I and many others out there have been warning and warning and warning and warning and until we can't warn anymore, and some people will click, and others, like you said, it will never click.
Yeah, and God says it won't, and I think that's such a hardship for you know. I think to myself, I think you gave me your heart, God. It beats so deeply inside of me. I understand you absolutely so completely. And I love your creation. I love what you made, and I resonate with all of that, and I think it's so incredibly wonderful. How am I not supposed to hope for your creation? Especially when I know what the enemy has done to it. A lot of this has nothing to do with the majority of these individuals on this planet. They did not create the brainwashing, nor the filth, nor the sexually explicit in your face stuff, and poisons and all this other stuff, okay? You know, a lot of the majority of the people that are lost these days didn't even have their hand in any of that. But they're affected by it. And so sad. You know, it's really sad. It's like a victim. You know, you look at this victim and you think, you know, they're on trial for killing somebody who beat them repeatedly, and they just couldn't take any more. And to them, it was self-defense, but yet they're on trial and being weighed for what they have done. But somebody forgot to look at the circumstances of what got them there. And then when you start, their story starts unfolding, you start having all this pity for them. The murder was never right. Murder will never be right and will never be justified, and should never, ever be a consideration. However, their story cultivated them, shaped them in many forms, and we all may not be strong enough to live through a beating like that and that type of repression and not choose the latter that they did, but we're all complexly made differently. I don't know, and I look at the observance of what God said to Isaiah and strongly warned a lot of our prophets, don't pray for them. They're lost. They'll always be lost, and that may be the truth, but then I've seen a lot of people come to God through the most strangest circumstances, and if we had given up hope on them then and considered them lost, and I think that's what God's doing, like you said, like the test. You know, we're all being tested daily. Are we going to be able to make it through this? Are we going to be able to reach the next soul level? If we had been given up on, or God had just said, shmeh, you know, I would just, boy, you know, I've had my fill of you. I don't know what else to do with you. I don't want to deal with you anymore, and I'm going to forget about you. And then that person turns their life around and seeking out God. And what kind of God would we have if that God did not reach out his arms and welcome them back?
Right. Like
I just don't see that kind of God. He's not that kind of God that I see. I don't see that kind of God.
Yeah, I used to be the same way on that, and I forgot what it was that got me to think otherwise. Maybe it was going to Bible college, I don't know, but yeah. It's hard to fathom that the people that are murderers, for example, can actually repent, and they can accept Jesus, you know?
And they do, and they find him in jail, and a lot of them do. And they're there for the rest of their lives. They're there. They'll never get out of jail. They'll never, ever be a part of our society again, however they gave their whole life to God. And they were able to witness to a lot of people in jail and being able to witness to a lot of the... And it's funny. It's almost like their hardship built up their soul... spiritual, I don't know, to get to the next level, but they were also placed in that position to be able to get more soul. Now, for some reason, that's how they were able to get more. That's how they were able to reach more people in that position that they were in that they could never get out of. How amazing is that? I mean, that's absolutely amazing. I do foresee that a lot of these people who are a part of the Illuminati will walk away from it, or they'll just have no choice. They'll be thrown out. These are the people that gives us the inside stories. These are the people that give the inside life of the people that are massively genociding this whole planet. These are the people that walk away, that live to tell and give us a little bit more about what their agenda and their plans are and warning us. I'm grateful to them. I think it's good that we kept sounding that alarm, because there might have been something that one of us individually or collectively said that woke them up to walk away. Just like that Satanist, you know, something happened in his life that he walked away and he came back fully to God. And he really left God because his father died. And he was angry at God. And he didn't understand God. And he was mad at God. And he never wanted to ever accept God, because how could a God take away his father when he was a little boy? I think we're all going through situations like that, where we just want to be flat out angry at a God that has nothing to do with any of this. The choices that people make, the ugly things that they do to us, or how they control us, beat us down or whatever, starve us to death, poison us or whatever. And truly God has nothing to do with that on many levels. I just hope that people will, maybe tonight, you know, I don't know who's all listening. I mean, maybe you might give it some thought, you know. I mean, it's free will. The people that are doing this stuff to this planet, it's their free will to do so, and it really has nothing to do with God. And it has nothing to do with that separation or being angry. And, you know, and I have to say,
That was the countdown clock.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
I just have to say to a lot of people out there, if you've lost somebody that you really loved, I just wanted to let you know that nothing is lost. All belongs and goes back to God. And forgive him for taking somebody that you really, truly love. Nothing is lost. Nothing ever really, really does die on a spiritual level.
Yeah, and continue to walk in the Spirit. And we can do that by praying constantly, reading, studying, and memorizing God's holy word, and praising God in both good and bad times.
Yeah. Loves us through it all. It really does. Loves us all deeply through all of this, what's happening on this planet. Very proud of you if a lot of you have woken up and you don't want any part of this and you're just outraged and you're not liking what you're seeing. It's very pleasing to God that you're considering not ever being a part of any of the stuff that we're being forced upon us.
Yeah, and perilous times are upon us, so it's very important that people are either accepting Jesus as Lord or choosing to follow Satan, because there's no in between. And time is up. You know, not just with the show, but for tonight, that is. We'll be on again Friday night at 9 p.m. Pacific. But time is up for the world. They have to make a choice now, because the trumpets are sounding, the revelation is coming to life, and it cannot be watered down. It is happening now.
And it cannot be stopped.
Exactly.
It cannot be stopped either. It's going to go through.
Exactly. Yeah. The last 3.5 years are upon
you. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're okay.
I guess I just wanted to say, and it has to, because everything has to be completed and justice has to be, everything, it's kind of like a trial, right? It's like a trial, everything has to go. It has to progress for there to be an outcome of who's guilty and who's not guilty, so that justice can play its part and so that justice can have its way.
Yeah, the separation of the wheat and the tares.
Right.
Taking place. And we'll accelerate like none other very soon.
And we've all been meditating on what we want our new heaven and earth to be like, and haven't we all been meditating on, wouldn't it be nice if this never ever was again? You know, those prayers are being considered and they will be answered. No more for cancer, no more murder, you know, all the things that just we're sick of. We're so sick of it. Those prayers are being considered, and they, I promise you, we're not going to have any more of it.
It'll be just like the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve took the sin. Yeah, it'll be beautiful and wonderful, but no sin at all. No evil at all. It'll be wonderful and perfect.
And our hearts are being tested. Will we be right for that garden? No, that we will not. That we will not create another new earth in heaven, just like the one being carefully considered about who's going to be part of that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We're being put to the fire now. We're being made pure, holy, and blameless in His sight.
Exactly.
For those of us who follow Jesus wholeheartedly, yeah. My testing started the week of October 16th, so I know it's accelerate from there, but, you know, we're all in some way, shape, or form being tested daily, like you said, some more than others, at more intensity, I guess I should say.
Right.
But it is very much happening, and once this all goes down, very soon, all in God's timing, yeah, there's no turning back. You have to make a choice. Either you're going to live and die for Jesus, or you're going to die for Satan and be in the pit of hell. So.
And I hope if I'm worthy and I'm able to live there, I hope that other people are found worthy, so I don't have to cry over people having cancer or, you know, what we've seen on this earth. I hope and pray that consideration of that worthiness will be taken into account, because I don't want our world to be destroyed anymore. Sick of it. Tired of it.
Yeah, same here.
I'm tired of it.
Lost. Yeah. Same here. Wanted to end with that. I'm just so sick of the people.
It's like having a private island and saying, okay, I know you, I know what you've been doing, I know how you've helped the world, and how you've helped and you've cared about for the world. You can live on my island. Because I would like people like you living on my island.
Yeah.
Because you're good and you helped the world and you did good things and you have something to contribute to this new world and you learn how to take care of the planet or things such of that nature. I think you'd be wonderful to be a good part of our team, you know, or think something like that nature, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the tribulation is meant, trials. It's refining our faith and making us stronger in Him. And with what I experienced Sunday morning, it strengthened my faith even more in the Lord. It made me stronger yet, and I up my game every time. So, spiritually, at this point, I'm as ready as I can be physically. But spiritually, I up my game, and they know it. They know it, and that's fine. I want them scared, because they know they're already defeated. They know it. And I know that God is protecting me. I've seen it time and again, and it just makes me just stand in awe of Him. I love Him so much. He's so good.
He's a good God. He is a really good God. Works things out better than we ever dreamed, like I said about what happened, what's been happening. Never knew that hardship was actually going to be a way to help me achieve something else. So, you know, I didn't understand it then. I didn't understand why just constant pounding, you know, but I see that it was going to work out for my favor and it was going to work out for my good. I just didn't see it until it was getting closer to being able to be realized, you know.
I understand on that. Yeah, yesterday I applied for this Bible college job. Totally was not expecting to make it to the next step because of just how competitive it is in the academia world. I got an email saying, you now can go to the next step, which is to get the application process complete. And I saw that, and I was like, thank you, Lord Jesus, you're so good. So with the way the world's going, I'm not counting on being able to actually be teaching because of how rapidly everything's getting worse, but I want to pursue it as long as I can. So I can teach college level and teach the Bible to people who want to hear and learn more about the Bible. And, God is awesome. He always takes care of us every time. Ever since I accepted him as Lord of my life 19 years ago, he has provided time and again. He's so good.
Yes. Yeah, that's so true. It's just been so hard, hasn't it?
It has.
And, I don't know. You know, it's funny. God kept pointing at this thing one time. Like, I kept going, pearl, I don't get it. What are you trying to show me the pearl? And I remembered Revelation, like the ending of Revelation, about how it's
pearl gate.
Pearly gate. And I kept going, I still don't get it. And he just kept saying, you will. You'll get it. And it's like, okay, I'll just wait until I get it because I'm not understanding what you're trying to show. But it was a wonderful promise to me. And I pray that for everyone. I really do. I pray that we all see whatever this mystery that he was trying to convey to me, I'm sure I'll get it. I'll go, oh, that's what you were trying to show to me. I'm sure of that. But, we're probably past the mark, but thank you so much for listening to Exposing the Enemy. My name is God Sent Angel, and with Elizabeth, we had Pierre on earlier. I haven't been on the show in a while, so I hope I didn't hog the show. I just haven't been on in a while.
We're in archive mode. It lasts for a good hour. I learned that the other day with my own show on Tribulation News. So,
archives, what does that mean?
It still is in recording mode. We're not live, but it's recording what you and I were just talking about. So
interesting.
That recording mode, it lasts for another hour beyond the extra time we're allotted for.
Is that saved in the archives?
Yes, it is.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How many people listen tonight, Elizabeth?
I'll be able to tell you if you call me up after I was thinking about ending the show with the song, and I can tell you later, like in the next, once we get off here talking. I can tell you then, because I can't tell you when I'm in the studio.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because I have to get off of Skype and everything in order to do it. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
so what do you want to do? Do you want to get off and then you want to play a song in the background with me on the phone, and then you can tell me how many people or what? What do you want to do?
I was thinking close the show with the song. I mean, it goes with perfect with what we're saying. It's Overcome by Desperation Band. I don't know if you know that song or not. End the show with that.
I probably heard it.
I'm sure you probably have. I played it last week. It just seems to be perfect for what we've been talking about lately.
Okay. Let's play it. I hope a lot of people did listen. At least we didn't get any hackers or whatever you want to call
trolls.
Them.
Yeah, well, we'll see in the numbers. I will play on that for sure just by looking at the numbers.
You can tell by the numbers that there were trolls?
Yeah, I'll be able to know because I know our average just by looking at it. Yeah,
okay.
I'll be able to know. Yep. All right, well, I'll end the song with Overcome by Desperation Band. Of course, you can stay on as well, Angel, if you'd like to, and then I'm going to completely, get off the air.
And you'll call me back and let me know the numbers or what?
Yeah, I'll call you right back. Definitely.
Okay, right on.
Next to me. Definitely, yeah. Thank you all for listening. God bless you.
God bless you all.
Thank you.